Hello? Are you there? Oh, there we go. I turn the volume up on my headphones. Hello?
Hi!
Ah, there you go. Now we can hear.
Now you can hear? Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes!
John, I really didn't need to hear that.
Again.
What is that? Again? Yes, again, actually. Oh, God, you're already taping. Okay. I wonder how many people have defriended me on Facebook today.
Ooh.
Why?
What'd you do?
Oh, I put up a really funny damn video, but
What was the video?
The chow down at Chick-fil-A thing.
With the three drag queens.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is an awesome, awesome video. But
so I'm
wondering how many people have defriended me on Facebook. Let's go find out.
What happened with the what's this thing, chow down thing?
Oh my God! Okay, hold on. I got the link on YouTube right now, baby. I'm giving it to you. Hold on. This is awesome. So it's basically three drag queens singing about Chick-fil-A.
And how awesome it is.
Chow down at Chick-fil-A. It's awesome because. You know why that's kind of ironic that drag
Chick-fil-A
queens would be talking about Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A hates the gays.
They hate the gays.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the, this.
Uh-huh.
I get where you're... All right, I'm a Cub Master.
Yes, you are.
Use words.
And the Boy Scouts have a policy.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
It's an unfortunate policy.
What's that?
I said it's an unfortunate policy. We'll just say it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
It is an unfortunate policy.
They have slightly adjusted it. I mean, it used to be that it just you can't serve in a leadership role. But it's I can tell you what Penn and Teller learned on their bullshit show. Which was that that is a policy coming up from the top. Does not necessarily mean that the volunteers at the bottom, because each organization is a charter organization and
I saw that show. It was really good.
Does not necessarily mean that is what's happening.
That is very true. And John, that is very true. The Chick-fil-A management and owners, high levels of management and owners. I will also say, though, however, knowing people who have worked for the Jesus Chicken and talking to them about things is they also do talk to their employees and don't hire you if you're gay either.
Much like
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. I heard Denny's, too.
I have no idea. Is it chow down?
Detox. But
you know what happened to me at Cracker Barrel, not Cracker Barrel, at Nutcracker.
It's chicken fried. Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna gobble up a waffle fry. But no, no, don't you know Chick-fil-A say you make the baby Jesus cry. Do the groove, get your pay, even Dyke say yay. So chow down at Chick-fil-A.
Hey.
Chow down at Chick-fil-A, even if you gay. Chow down at Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
You know their milkshakes.
Isn't it awesome?
Really good. Chick-fil-A's got some.
Okay, here's the problem.
I've got a quick story to show how Jesus-y their chicken is.
How Jesus-y? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is what happened. Okay, I ordered some food, and the price came out to be $6.66.
Oh, no way. Really?
Okay, hold on. Here's the thing.
Good job. gay person from Satan. Yes.
No. But this is the thing. You know how usually when you order food and they give you the price, they tell you the price? The guy wouldn't say the price.
Oh, he wouldn't say it's $6.
He would not say the price.
Hey, I have to tell you, it is very hard not to eat the Jesus chicken because God knows I love the Jesus chicken.
What is it with that lone pickle though? What is with that lone
you
pickle?
Can ask for extra. You can ask for extra and they will do it.
No. The basic Chick-fil-A sandwich. Just the chicken and then that lone pickle. What the fuck? I mean, do you have to like eat around it to see where they put it in? I don't understand that pickle.
I think I've gotten a couple, so I don't know. If you're on my Twitter or if you're on my Facebook, I have linked to this great song about the Jesus chicken. So
you know there's a bit of controversy with that video. Besides
the Scott, really?
See three.
Besides the Jesus chicken,
and also scamming on Wilson Phillips. Yeah.
No. One of the drag queens
is not a drag queen.
No. She was kicked off RuPaul's Drag Race. Not because she lost the competition, because she violated the rules. This just came out.
Violate the rules.
They didn't say that. They didn't say on the episode. They didn't say what she did, but she did something.
I don't know what kind of rule. Scott, look this up. This is up your.
I have been looking it up. They haven't said. Oh my
God. This is up your alley, so to speak.
The sad thing is, because of the circles that I frequent on Tumblr, I know the answer to this.
Apparently,
when they were doing it,
mostly, but with tighter pants.
Was his name like Swiffle or something like that? I don't know.
Cheyenne or something? I don't know.
No, Willem.
Surprisingly hard, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, Willem. So this person wouldn't show up to events on time and would show up drunk a lot, apparently. So that's why they had to get rid of them.
Oh, so it's the normal, stuff that you would get bumped off. You know, alcoholism and being late. Okay. Well, then there's no conspiracy.
Well, you know what happened? She actually puked during like their final thing, so that explains a lot. It's scandalous.
Maybe she was pregnant.
Sir, good job. Sir, how do you feel about them talking so ill about your favoriteest of favorite places?
Well, Chick-fil-A does rock, but it's run by a bunch of wacky right-wing fundamentalist Christians.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get on this. What are we talking about?
The food's fantastic.
We're talking about the Jesus chicken.
Those milkshakes.
We're talking about the link I put on for the drag queens singing about the Jesus chicken.
I have to side with Serve in the fact that whenever I'm at Dragon Con, I will always make sure to eat a Chick-fil-A because it's tasty as a motherfucker.
Hard for me not to eat the Jesus chicken and the waffle fries.
I just
and
had,
the peach shake during
I
the
just
summer.
Had some too today
and the
actually
salad.
So have I told you guys my plan, what needs to be the plan for Chick-fil-A? All these people going, oh, well, boycott Chick-fil-A. Have I told you about my plan?
I already own several.
More for me.
I'm waiting on the apocalypse so I get my Jesus chicken.
No. This is an actual plan because here is all these people.
As opposed to all the other things we talked about.
Wait. The rapture taking over?
No. There's no rapture. Remember, the world's ending in December anyway before the rapture happens.
He came back and said there wasn't going to be a rapture and he's never going to try to do it again.
He's the repentant child.
I'm sorry.
So step one of the plan goes like this. All right, there's step one.
Open the beer. Yep.
Here's the problem with people who are like boycotting Chick-fil-A is that I don't know if you've seen, I don't say this to like put the guy down because there's plenty of other reasons to put him down. But I don't know if you've seen the guy who like runs Chick-fil-A, who like founded Chick-fil-A, Kathy Truitt, I think his name is. Have you guys seen him?
Wait.
His name is actually Truitt. Is his first name.
Really?
Yes.
Somehow that's worse. Anyway, so
explains a lot.
Well, but no. Here's the deal: is that my thought is this, that I too am addicted to the tasty Jesus chicken, and I had to ask myself, do I really want to go eat at a place that has such a really terrible attitude? And my thought was this: whether I eat there or not, Truitt Kathy Truitt Fawcett, whatever his name is, doesn't give a fuck.
Fossey.
Yeah, Bob Fossey. No, Bob Fossey's not involved.
No, we like Bob Fossey.
But here's the deal. So he doesn't care. He is one of these people who would put principle above business. So my thought is, and I say this to say, I hope he lives. I there are very few people in the world I wish dead. Certainly not him. I hope he lives a long, even longer than he already has, wonderful life. But eventually he will go away. When he goes away, my thought is that then the company will fall into hands of people who are more likely to listen to business things than, say, their invisible friend. So my thought and my thing would be this, and I urge Weekend Justice listeners to go ahead and be ready to start this, is around the country, after that happens, once it changes hands, once we see that they're not maybe as crazy as Kathy Truitt Kathy, is that I'll just call him Kathy. Kathy, the comic strip character.
That'll probably not get us sued, so yeah.
What you do is you create a day during which that day you and all of your friends, everyone, goes to Chick-fil-A, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and mob them. It's suddenly the final episode of Walking Dead. You're a horde descending on Walking Dead for the Jesus chicken, and you just clean them out. And then you do that on every single location that you can. Then the next day, everyone who went sends an email and said, that's it, we're done. And if you ever want to see traffic again based on anything like what we gave you yesterday, get off your fucking high horse, because we're done.
And I like that plan, Mr. Walls.
Because here's my thing is that if you're not eating Chick-fil-A now, all you're doing is depriving yourself of tasty chicken. You're not doing anything else. And waffle fries. So
that's shake. But that is, actually, but, if you come near my house, I'm near a dwarf house, and you can go and have brunch, and you can have a buffet. Yes.
Have you gone to the dwarf house yet? We only hear about it.
I have not. I want to go so I can buy a Chick-fil-A sandwich at 12:05 a.m. on a Sunday.
We do.
I know we need to do that, and so that basically I can be eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich that I bought on a Sunday.
And you can also get a hamburger too.
I know. How crazy is that? I can't wait.
Oh God, you can get a hot brown.
Rob, do you need me to call you on your other number?
Ladies.
What?
Do you need me to call you on your other number?
Oh my God, Rob's here early. Wow.
Right, can do that now.
Yeah, Rob, yeah, hi. Hi, sweetie.
And now he's gone.
No, he's
wait, gone. It's not 3 a.m.? What's going on?
Yeah, I know.
3 a.m.
It's a bizarro world.
Hey! Hi, Rob!
Hey.
Hello. So, yeah, but that's, I had something else to tell you.
Then I'm a cutie pie. Thanks.
Lee, did you have something to tell us, or did the drugs have something to tell us?
No, it's me. I was just saying. No, actually, it was like, this house is the, if this house gets struck by lightning tonight, that's going to be it. Because my husband, as I walked in, was blaring the Book of Mormon, which is an awesome, awesome soundtrack. I have already recommended it highly. And then we were, you know, watching the Jesus convention. Oh, and it's
you were doing it while Book of Mormon was going on?
No.
That would be...
Hello!
And then when you're done, you can put on Last Temptation of Christ, just to tempt
me. We just do that.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I think it would be
and
much
then a
more
Marilyn fun. Manson CD for a nightcap.
I think Dogma on Last Temptation. Marilyn Manson. Yeah.
So, Lee?
Yes, Rob?
I understand you're mad at me and Aaron about something.
Uh-oh.
She's always mad at us.
Well, she posted something last week about being mad, and then she wasn't on the call.
Well, she.
Oh no, I got it. I got it before you. She left before you came in. But yeah, she basically was just.
So Aaron's basically saying sloppy seconds, Rob.
Hey, now Lee is a lady. She does not do sloppy seconds.
That's exactly right.
Unless there's alcohol involved.
She does very neat seconds.
I'm very neat. Thank you. Thank you. Right. That's the point, Witch, that I'm neat.
Seconds
and that's not fair. You unload all that completely on Aaron. Good God, he's up in the middle of the fucking morning and you're unloading on him.
Well, I had a chance to unload on her as well, so it's fine.
Soundboard!
Thank you.
Rob, you only came on so you could say that while I might be here.
No. I'm off tonight because I'm packing and getting crap done. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you after?
Where are you going?
Cardiff.
Oh, nice.
What?
Cardiff, Wales.
Cardiff. Yes.
Are
you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Rob, you sound so unexcited.
Sure.
Because basically, I'm going to see a hotel for 2 days. So, or whatever the Millennium Center is. And the TARDIS tours are done. So I can't get in.
For 2 days, that's it?
Yeah.
That's a really long flight for 2 days, man.
It's not my money.
I hope they're bringing in business class.
Yeah.
It's not my money.
Wait, it's not my money, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is it John's money?
No.
I didn't invest in Wales, just so you
know. Is it my tax dollars?
No. I didn't invest there.
Oh. Aaron, when did you start paying taxes?
I actually pay a lot of taxes. Maybe not yours.
He's not Greece. He's Ireland. Taxes,
the edge comes to the door with a little bag and knocks on the door until he pays him. And then when the edge sleeps, then they send Sinead O'Connor.
He sings numb until I give up.
I wouldn't last very long. Oh, God. All right. So I've been dying to know. So it rocks.
Yes.
How's your iPad?
Lovely.
Has it scolded you yet? Are you on fire?
No, what? No. Okay. Couple things. Okay. There's a couple things that came out. First off, let me tell you about what happened Friday, though. It was really weird. So my friends and I get to the Apple store like around 6 o'clock in the morning because I had the day off, so it was okay. Because we were going to go for breakfast. Rob, you have to get up earlier for your flight, so don't let me hear that. Anyway. So we get there.
I get drunk while I'm waiting.
So could we.
Yeah, have you met Rox? She was probably having
a great time. But see, if Rox gets in line to buy, you know, the new iPad, she's going to walk out of there with like a Commodore 64 or something. So.
Wow. No. 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 Here was the weird thing.
Where do you put the cassette tape?
I know. Is there an SD drive?
Box.
Hey!
There were a bunch of homeless guys in line.
For an iPad?
Were they holding spots? Is that someone paid them to hold the spot?
Kind of.
Oh, God, it got better.
It got better.
So you're paying homeless people now to stay in line for you.
Not me. Some guy did. Some guy paid at least. We counted five homeless guys that walked into the Apple store with him. He was peeling off $1,000 bills off of this roll. And he's like, okay, go find your. Because when you go to the Apple store on these type of days, you get like your own personal shopper guy. Person. It's really cool.
Oh my God.
I had two. That was really nice.
Oh my God, really?
Two at once?
Yeah.
You had two at once, Rox?
Yeah, I did.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Won't be the first time.
Did they help you? Did they help you find your little doohickey?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay.
They start your hard drive?
Yeah, help me set up and everything. Now, anyway.
Rox, yes. did you tell them about your size requirements?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Oh. That was a cue for John.
Come on. Low.
I don't know where it is.
I really fail. 27 inches.
How many women have said that to John?
So anyway,
one, two,
three. I had two guys helping me, but I was drawn to this guy who was surrounded by five homeless guys.
You would
all,
be.
I know. They weren't my people. They weren't hobos.
Let's think about this. They're homeless, they're outside, and they're near you. I think that might qualify as a hobo.
No.
Now, hold on. When you say this guy, we can't see you wink at the Skype board. Okay, no.
He was a guy that was, like, really well-dressed, kind of blinged out, had one of those really expensive track suits that you would see only on Russian mobs.
Oh, God.
Really? You know, one of those people that you just probably...
Opulence I has to have.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And this guy was a roll of $1,000 freaking bills. So, what? The homeless guy... If you were in the non-pre-order line, you could get up to 2 iPads. So each homeless guy bought 2 iPads for this guy. And what was going to happen was we talked to one of the Apple guys, and they're like, yeah, he's probably going to sell it overseas, you know, to one of the countries that won't get these until, like, months. So,
oh, my God, that's brilliant. Why didn't
like
you
us.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it was more interesting watch. And then when we were done, him and his little entourage of homeless went to the back of the line to hope to get some more. It was interesting.
Oh my God. I mean,
that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. A couple of things they did. Somebody from Consumer Reports said that the iPad runs a little hotter than iPad 2.
10 degrees Fahrenheit.
10 degrees. But that's if you're downloading a ton of stuff.
Externally.
Externally, yeah. Or you're running like a high graphics game or something. Now, here's an early Help Me Rocks segment for people who actually have the new iPad. I call it the iPad Thrice.
Help Me Rocks? Is there a telephone number for Help Me Rocks?
There is, 888.
6-3-4-8-8-2-5-6.
Anyway,
nine.
If you get 10 hours of battery time, the iPad is a giant battery now. The monitor, the screen is fabulous. If you're looking at text off of like iBooks, it's as if you put on reading glasses. And it's crystal clear, and the graphics are amazing on it. There is a dictation button, which is part of the Siri program. So you can actually dictate your letters, dictate your tweet notes, which I've done, and you send those off. It's really great. Dictate.
Really?
Yes.
So you could basically just type in, like, whatever it is you want to write, and they'll do it.
Yeah.
Does it speak grumpy? Because I'm not sure my words again.
I don't think I don't think there's a discern. You know, it monitors if you're grumpy or not.
Does it speak snark? Because if it doesn't, I'm...
No, I don't have any where it dictates. But I haven't played around with that yet. But let me carry on to
that's awesome though
about battery life. That's important. So if you want to conserve your battery, a couple things you can do. You go to your settings. And you go to your number one thing is your notifications. Turn that shit off. Because do you really need a notification off of your Twitter link? No, not really. Do you need a notification that you got like a new little thing from Starwalk, new Hubble picture? Not really. Turn that stuff off. There's a thing for cache for your RSS feeds. Turn those off too. You really don't need those. What it does is it adds battery life. Also, turn your screen brightness down. Even with this really great the Retina display, you don't need the monitor on as bright as you need to have it. Indoors with bright lights, you can turn it down, and that'll save on your battery.
You know what else saves on battery too? Turning it off.
Not
buying one.
Well, that too.
Rocks. I have the auto brightness set on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sap battery or is that a happy thing?
That's a happy thing because it actually monitors where.
Did you get a 3 as well?
He got a two. New... Now here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I was
going to
say that was going to break your rule.
And the funny thing is most of the people that were in line, except for the Russian mob guy, most of us were iPad 1 users, and we were upgrading to 3. Oh, I managed to get into our local business journal, too. Basically, we were going from 1 to 3, so we skipped over 2. If you have an iPad 2, keep it.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, good. You know, thank you.
From what they say, it runs 10 degrees cooler. So there you go. Your screen is better than a 1. It runs as fast. It runs faster than the 1, the 2 does. So, and the nice thing is even though you have a 2, there's always OS upgrades. There will always be an upgrade. Also another interesting note is if you bought the 4G network thing, I just found this out. They're working on the software for AT&T. That's what I bought, but the Verizon one, you could turn your, if you turn the, Wi-Fi or the, cellular on, you can make it into a hotspot, which means you can work up to 5 other Wi-Fi devices on your iPad. Which is actually good, but
that's without buying tethering from the, or does tethering?
No, that's without buying tethering. You don't have to buy the tether for that. Nice. So it's part of that thing, and the nice thing is both plans, Sprint or the Verizon and AT&T, you can turn it off. So if you're traveling, turn it on. Now the thing is apparently the, it doesn't work yet. The 4G doesn't work in Europe just yet. They don't have enough towers built or whatever. So the East Coast, you'll have no problem getting hooked up. So to me, I bought it for travel use of spending the extra $130 for the 4G network. Also, just so you know, if you're downloading Netflix off of that, you know, you're going to use up your battery. So you will get your 10 hours of battery. And one more thing is it does take slightly longer for you to juice your iPad up. So plug it in at night, or if you're at work, use your boss's electricity. That's what I do.
Well, what I find amazing, and I think I said this before, is that the iPad 2's battery life is just crazy. I mean, and this is me with... You know, because it runs its GPS, and it runs it. I've got it on Wi-Fi all the time. I have the 3G, but I have not turned it on. That's for when I am traveling. But I wanted that option. But I have it running like all the time. I have it turned up pretty bright because I'm blind, and it will go for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah,
Janet
got one.
Loads.
Oh God! What one? She got a 2.
Well, she got a 2, yeah. For
yeah, she's fine with it.
We've been fiddling with it all week. So
the thing is always skip
it. The great thing about the 3s coming out is that the 2s are on sale. So,
oh, yes,
and it's even better when they mispriced them. So,
what kind of deal did you guys get?
You don't really want to know.
Wow!
I'll give you a hint. There were only 3 numbers in it.
Wow.
So. And 2 of them were to the right of the decimal point.
No, it wasn't that good. So, yeah, it was good. We got one for like under 500. So,
well, that's good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But now we just figure out what to do. But I was surprised. I was going to ask Rox about the battery because I'm like, does this thing ever end? Because so far it hasn't. But she's answered basically all my questions because I'm totally new to the iPad thing and the uses that my wife has for it as opposed to what I have for it are completely different.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It's still fun.
Yeah, I mean, I do casual gaming on mine. I do use it for gaming, such as you could get I4E, which is for D&D and stuff. Pardon?
Angry Birds?
No, I don't really care for. Oddly enough, the gaming I do, if I do casual gaming, I use the iTouch. For that, opposed to the large, iPad. There are certain things. There's like Elder Sign, which is really good. It's an Arkham horror type game. That's
curling on our last one, and that was cool.
Yeah, curling is fun. If you're running if you're running Dead Space and stuff, yeah, your iPad's
curling's awesome.
So, yeah. Rob, there's actually some really. I don't know on how well like some of the sound mixing type sort of pseudo DJ stuff. Apps you can do, but there's some really good writing apps. Notably is really good.
Yeah, I was really I'm a PC guy, so it's really weird for me to keep using Macs, but I like the flexibility of the iPad so far. Now bear in mind I'm in an iPad 2 and you're using a 3, so but
two is good. I mean, there's a nominal difference. It's nominal.
Well, I mean, for what I'm going to need it for, it's useless anyway. But it's great for me to do some things, but not everything. So
you could do you could store your record collection, meaning you could organize of what you own and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't think the external drive necessary to do that would.
No. I meant just for like information.
The external drive necessary to do that would.
No, I'm sorry.
There's a software where you can like plug in where you can basically download records and put them digitally onto a computer file.
Right.
And apparently that does not work well with the iPad 1 or 2. I've been told. I haven't tried it yet. It does not really run Traktor well, which is a really great like DJ mix thing.
Right.
But really, at the end of the day, I'd rather have a computer that's much more practical for the household to use rather than for me just to play, you know, cool DJ guy on when I go out.
Right.
So, plus, honestly, I don't want it around where someone else can mess with it or screw it up. Because if everyone screws it up, it's going to be me.
There are two DJs. They dress alike. I can't remember their names, but they actually... No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, they dress a little, not Daft Punk, but there are these two guys, they dress nerdy, but they dress alike. And they actually
use... Too many
use
DJs?
There you go. Too many DJs.
Yes, there are.
And they actually use an iPad that they'll go through, they'll like sort of crowd surf and let people like, I don't know, screw around something.
That's not really DJing. Well, that's a discussion for another day.
It's allowing people to interaction. How's that? I guess. Whatever.
So that was my next question. Is if I have a 2 up, there's not that much of a difference between a 2 and a 3. Because at least here, the minute the 3s came out, the price 2s, it's almost like here the attitude is like, oh, these are the 2s. Let's throw them on the scrap heap now.
No, even Apple realizes how much the 2s are still worth, because on their website, they were offering, if it was a barely used iPad 2, I think like a 32 gig, they were still offering as a trade-in, like $320. Yeah. So no, they are staunch on saying, hey, you really don't need to do, you know, if you want to, go ahead, you know, but on a whole, they're like, there's nothing wrong with the 2. There is nothing wrong with the 2 at all. It's me saying that. And I am the voice of reason.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion next time we're in Jacksonville and we bring our piddly little iPad 2 over to your house and say, oh, what do you do with yours, Rox? And then the thing will end up like, you know, walking around the block and talking to itself after you're fiddling with it.
No, not yet. I need a skateboard for it, though.
No, well, I mean, when we bring ours down, I have a feeling you'll look at it and go, oh, does it do this, this, and this?
No, because I know what they all do.
Exactly. Well, you can tell us all the things.
No, here's the thing. No, actually, what I like to know what people do with theirs, of what people actually put on theirs. Yeah. You know, anyone that, you know, the people I know that have them, I'm like, oh, what do you have on it? Just to see. It's sort of like a look into their psyche in a way.
Yeah. Heard that,
like,
folks?
Like how many versions of Angry Birds do they have?
Hear that, folks? Send us what you have on your iPad.
Yeah, there you go.
To Weekend Justice. And what's that email address, Widge?
WidgeSucks@needcoffee.com.
That is one of many, yes.
That's my favorite.
It's the only one I remember purely because it makes me giggle.
So
I have a question for Widge.
Yeah.
Are you just hiding in your house from the yellow balls that are trying to come down and kill us?
Whoa. Is that racial?
I washed myself, goddammit.
Whoa!
Pearl Harbor was a long time ago.
I'm not talking about the pollen. Scott, you call them a yellow ball?
All right, Scott, for the record, I did not need to think about the next time I walked out of my house. Your giant testicles looming in the sky.
Now, hold on, Widge. Who said they were giants?
They are not yellow. Like I said, I wash myself.
Scott, you just said.
So let the record show. Let the record show that Scott's nickname for his testicles is his business.
Yes.
Business
is good.
When he's taking care of business, you know what he's up to.
Every day.
Well, he's got to take care of it. Nobody else will.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, I do believe, though, speaking of Scott, it has been a very long time since he's done Rock Lobster.
That's it right.
There we go.
Oh, sorry.
We did that early. Does that mean we get to leave?
No.
No.
You can leave whenever you want.
And
people do. People come and go. It's like a revolving door in here.
Sorry. I normally work on Tuesdays. I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't saying you. I was saying it's fine. Anyway, Rob, my question
I'm at Scott.
If what? So if his balls is his business, does that mean his penis is the weekend so he can be working for it?
You don't like that song anyway.
Because it's ruined now. Oh, God.
So, Rob, what time's your flight tomorrow?
No, it's not till tomorrow. It's not till, late Thursday. So.
Oh.
But I needed a night to do stuff. Tomorrow I've got the radio show, so.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I got to turn my column in advance and all that crap, so.
So tomorrow they're announcing the name of the new.
The name of the new companion is named tomorrow at 2:30 in the morning Eastern time. So
now, remember, this goes out long after that, so you can tell us now.
Yeah,
I'm on a 3 a.m. radio. I don't know. Not yet.
Rob,
here's the thing. They're trying to tell everyone that it's going to be Sophie Miles, right?
Right.
But we do know from reading her Twitter feed. Damn you, Twitter! You've turned me into a whore. From reading her Twitter feed, in Spain when they were filming in Spain last week. She was, but in a quote unquote, in a different part of Spain, but she was there, right? And then Arthur Darvill tweeted, "Oh, it was great to meet you last week." So now everybody is wondering: A, was she in there for a completely separate reason and just met them, or B, is she in the episode? Not as Madame de Pompadour, but as a different character. Is she in that episode and was she filming in Spain? Or is she in that episode and they're coming back at the Christmas episode to pick her up? Or is she in the Christmas episode as the new companion that is Lady Pompadour? Because the other rumor is that she is still going to be Madame de Pompadour. But basically, she would travel with the Doctor and come back before Tennant goes back and sees her leaving. So there's all kinds of different things floating around about how Sophie Miles is going to be used in Doctor Who this year. But the way Moffat likes to completely fuck with people on the internet, my guess is it's not going to be her.
Oh.
So you can truly see that Moffat basically said to Arthur, "Hey, would you mind tweeting this?"
No, they very easily could have just met too.
Oh, no, I know, but I just like the notion of Moffat being one of those people that literally just goes, "Hey, throw this out there just to fuck with people."
Oh, I don't think he did that. I mean, I think she actually met him, but it was social. You know, I mean, it could easily be they met them socially and it just gets blown up because Doctor Who fandom has become this crazy weird thing where everyone goes, "Oh my God, you know, what's going on?"
Right.
So, the other rumor is that it might be Charlotte Church. It could be other rumors that it's Lily Allen. There's all kinds of crazy things going around.
Lily Allen?
That was the one that was the first rumor. She was actually one of the people that lost out to Billy Piper. So
and that's when they'd lose me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So it'll be real interesting to see how they do it. They're probably going to have the first five
Stormageddon.
There's no spoilers. But the first five stories we get of the season is the Amy Roy arc, and then the Christmas is kind of the reset with the new companion, and then we get the 50th anniversary season, and then my guess is that since Matt Smith's contract will be up by then, that he's probably going to leave, and they'll regenerate him right before next Christmas.
Oh wow!
And the lead singer of Loverboy will take over.
Wow.
Now that's what I call 80s goodness.
The 80sologist has spoken.
No. Everyone's
watching. Come on, everyone's watching.
I know.
To see what you'll do.
That's how Scott likes it.
Mm-hmm.
No, Scott just likes the tight red pants that Loverboy wore.
All right, so Rob.
No. Those are pain in the ass to get out of.
Too many things in head. Too many statements.
And that's Widge's head. So you know there's a lot of stuff in there.
Mental gridlock. Too many funny things that could be said.
The mind trap.
Yes.
The mind trap.
But it's going to be really interesting because there'll be a big buzz about this by the time the podcast airs.
There you go.
We'll have a new Doctor Who companion.
So let me just ask you. So Rob.
Yes.
Do you have any prediction at all as to who it might be? Since you don't think it's going to be Sophie Miles based on...
Well, I here's the thing. It's so frustrating.
I'm kidding you, so you can potentially be wrong is the thing.
Well, I'm going to be wrong. But here's the thing. It could be Sophie Miles, and then everyone's expecting... And it got out, and everyone's expecting to be fucked with, but it actually is Sophie Miles. Or it could not be Sophie Miles, and everyone's totally not getting fucked with. It's totally getting fucked with. I honestly have no idea where this is going.
So there's basically a fucked with factor that we don't know about.
Yeah, from a fan point of view, I have no problem looking at that for another year.
Mm. Okay.
You know, I think she'd probably be an okay companion. It's probably not enough. I mean, my first reaction when I saw Karen Gillan was like, okay. My first reaction when I saw like all the other Tenet companions was, all right. Except when I saw Rose, I was like, oh, fucking hell. So as long as I don't have that reaction, I'll be fine. You know? And it's not going to be a human companion. It's supposed to be, she's supposed to be an alien companion. Maybe. So this could get
interesting. How could she?
No, that's one of the other things they're throwing out there is that she's an alien.
Okay, I remember that was talked about at one point.
The other rumor that, you know, Moffat, and part of the reason why this is so circumspect is that someone said the Doctor meets a new friend, and then Moffat posted on a Twitter thing, it might not necessarily be a new friend, it's just an old friend with a new face. So then everyone's starting to think that, oh my god, it's his granddaughter, Romana. Because they have left that
or
hanging.
Or Romana.
Well,
they have left that hanging.
I mean, the whole basic idea of what I think is going to happen with the 50th season is they're going to tie up all that mystery shit with them. Why he left Gallifrey, because it all, that sort of seems where this is going. Right?
Yeah, we've been duped before.
Well, Scott, I mean, they can't answer everything, but they say they've never really driven the nail home. Who are you, Doctor? Doctor Who? They've never really sort of had anybody say, who are you? And you
I don't think you're going to do that.
So,
well, they've set it up to do it, Rox.
If they're going to get around the 12 regenerations, they're going to have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
What
the fuck is that?
John. I know, but I don't want it set up that it's like Quantum Leap at the end.
No, I don't think it will be. I mean... Yeah, the one happy thing I am
Scott
happy
Bakula
about
the all the time.
Shooting,
the whole time.
The one thing I am happy about the way they're
Scott Bakula, and he said, "Oh boy," is the first thing he said after he regenerated. I'd fucking blow a gasket.
That's it. I'm done.
I think
no more
everybody
television.
Would get showing at that point.
No, I think the one thing I do like about the way they're setting up the seasons, though, is that Moffat will not be. We won't get what we had last year, I hope, in that Moffa was had like five different balls in the air. Calm down, Scott. With stuff he's working on. So if he
had a lot of business.
The year with Who will be done, and then he could turn and have an entire year devoted to Sherlock. And then I think he sort of figured out how his working plan is going to be. So at the end of the day, both shows will be better. So, you know, it is interesting though that we're getting a new companion named just in time for the Doctor Who convention. So again, their timing is perfect. So.
Okay. So, unfortunately I have to go.
Okay. Lee, I thought you'd be proud of me for this.
I am proud of you for that. I've told you I'm proud of you for that. I have told you repeatedly on email how proud I am of you.
Oh, I haven't heard from you in a while.
You made me many
you, wait, you never tell me how proud you are of me as my microphone floats away.
I have told you how honored
John,
I
are you, John?
You probably weren't as far gone as being fucked up as I was.
John,
I don't know. I've been pretty far gone on these.
I am that what? I work with you from May through August on stuff together. Rocks, yes. I told you how happy I am that you do panels from my track on Warehouse 13 and all the fun things you do.
I'm not complaining, Lee.
And Lee said that was fiction, Rocks.
But this year, Lee, Rocks is going to have a 3D holographic image of her that she just comes into the room, puts down her iPad 3, and it has a holographic Rocks that does all the panels, and she's going to be the fucking hot tub the whole weekend.
Yeah. Hey. Update at the hot tub.
I'm very thankful that Aaron has always come and done a Lost panel or on something weird for me. And you got up very early to do that stuff with Rocks and I last year.
I will get up most of the time.
If you want. Could you? Well, good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
If John will do it again.
I'm actually particularly pleasant in the morning.
Well, you can take my place then, sir, because I am not.
Oh, Aaron, that was sarcasm.
Aaron, it's not that you're not good in the morning. It's that you haven't slept yet, so it's not really the morning.
Wait a minute. Aaron's really good in the morning, if I may say so.
Bookended by two crabby people. It'll be awesome.
I do not want to imagine Lee being bookended by anybody, sir.
That's happened before.
So Aaron, I just have a question. Is it morning most of the day in Ireland?
Quiet you.
Well, no, they have a special word for morning in Ireland. It's called happy hour.
There you go.
Do you know happy hour is illegal in this country?
Whoa.
Yes.
Stop the podcast.
I shouldn't go here, but I will. Aaron, so are car bombs. Well, that's never stopped the Irish before.
Technically, car bombs aren't illegal. There's no law against car bombs.
Specifically, you go car bombs.
There's a guy I really fucking hate that I used to work with, and he emailed me the other day telling me he was going to Ireland and what kind of drinks he should get in the pub.
What did you tell him? You told him to order like cocktails all the time, didn't you?
No, I told him to get an Irish car bomb. Tell him to ask for an Irish car bomb.
I think there is a car bomb here, like just to call the car bomb, but I think it's got different ingredients.
Yeah, the fact that it's an American doing it is going to be fucking hilarious.
Rob, that's the whole thing about, like, when you go to China, you don't ask for Chinese food. It's just food. So if you go to Ireland for an Irish car bomb, you just...
Yeah.
All right, can we talk about the Dark Shadows trailer?
No, please not.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, God, Rob. Okay, I just want to say this, and then Rocks. You can just go. But let me just say this because I know I probably won't be able to otherwise. I watched that and my one thought was, well, somebody's disappointed he didn't make the Addams Family film.
Oh, man.
Okay, Rocks, go.
Oh, my God. Where can I start? Okay, it's
not. How about the fact that he looked like Count Chocula?
The show stopped in, what, 1968? Okay, there's a thing I hate about vampires when you do that weird ass fake cheekbone bullshit. Now, why couldn't Johnny Depp just go on a diet and be gaunt like he was in Pirates of the Caribbean, not this, oh, let's paint on like fake fucking cheekbones. That looks stupid.
Because at some point, the heroin's going to kick in.
Rocks. He looks like Count Chocula.
Yeah.
I argue that Johnny Depp has jumped the shark because he's playing drums on the Marilyn Manson record. So, you know, I argue that Johnny Depp, as we knew him, is gone.
Well,
so right, he did Rango. That was so wonderful.
Hang on, Rob. In his defense, he is taking the paycheck, but he also is then turning around and doing stuff like Rum Diary, which he had wanted to do for years.
I know.
So I wouldn't. Now, two things. I would say, number one,
Diary was career suicide, which, you know, I understand why he does it, and you understand why he does it.
Yeah, but we could have said the same thing about, what was it, Dead Man? I mean, he's always done a project that only, like, he and three other people wanted to see.
But here's the thing. He was a fan of the original Dark Shadows show. Yeah, so I don't know where they're coming up with this sort of... I don't know. You're right. It's somebody was upset for not doing Adam's Family.
Well, Rox, bear in mind, a lot of the people who are destroying DC and Marvel Comics. No, I'm sorry. Let me correct that. A lot of the people who destroyed DC and Marvel Comics, past tense, considered themselves fans of the comics. So being a fan of something does not necessarily make you able to actually pick it up and run with it. In fact, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
I guess the issue is there was always some fun. I mean, the thing about Dark Shadows was, campy or not, whatever you want to say, they did not seem, I don't know if it's not tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but they at least took it seriously when they were doing it. This does not look like they're taking anything seriously, or else they have totally lost the whole point of
when you consider the magnitude, and Scott will back me up on this because he recommended it, they ran, 1,225 episodes every
freaking
day.
Well, they did it from 66 to 72?
No, earlier than that.
66 to 71.
Okay.
So, but bear in mind, it was a soap opera, so it was running like daily.
So yeah, here's the thing about the camp attitude is you almost have to have it because you're doing this every day. You know, and there were people saying, Joan Bennett would screw up her lines, and so did Jonathan Frid. Well, you know, you're doing it every day. Well, you're not even doing a rehearsal. You're pretty much here's your lines. Go ahead.
Well, and also remember with this show, too, I mean, as they said, this show had soap operas never get a whole lot of budget. But even during the time of this got the lowest budget ever. I mean, that's why when you saw the sound guy walk through the shot and they didn't reshoot it, it's probably because they didn't have enough tape to reshoot.
Everything they did was in one take. And I'm sure that they even say that, too, Scott, on the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly with other shows at the time, like Zed Cars.
Oh, yeah.
The Hartnell Years of Doctor Who. Like, when you watch the Sensorite DVD, you can see there's a boom mic in, like, five scenes. You can see the fucking boom mic. So at that time, the concept of a reshoot was just, like, a bizarre foreign element to television. So
now, go ahead.
No, the thing is about Dark Shadows, I barely remember it. So, I need to go back and actually watch it. A couple episodes, so that I have some sort of reference point for when I watch the trailer.
Sob during the trailer, or what?
Here's the thing about the ensemble cast is everybody enjoyed it. They enjoyed the fact that even though their character may be written out, they'll know that we might travel back in time and that person might play another character. So they're always constantly revolving people around for new characters. So a lot of people, the people that were involved in the show, they were really worried about Joan Bennett. Joan Bennett actually had a really decent Hollywood career. She married, I think, a producer, I believe. So she had a really good career. So they spent money on hiring her, and everyone kind of like tiptoed around her till they found out she was really cool. Like, she would move sets around and help people to set up another set. So she loved the show. Most of the people that were cast people loved the show. So you can see if you're like our, you know, what we're doing, you know, you camp it up, you know, because you're used to somebody and you have a really good chemistry. I mean, the problem with doing a film, and I've seen this even with the Two Dark Shadow films, you know, you have a script that's adhering to, you know, the lines and stuff, and they don't really work out well. But, you know, when you consider the giant scope of Dark Shadows and cramming into 2 hours and camping it up to a point that it's like, and I hate CGI tentacle tongues.
Here's the other thing I'm trying to remember is that all of us were very upset with the Muppets trailers and thought they were going to suck.
No.
So,
I think that was just excited. That was just Aaron.
No, I was afraid of the trailers as well.
Which, too, John was, even though he's not jumping in here. But yeah, we were not. So, I'm still, there's a little tiny glimmer, tiny bit of hope. It's very low.
No. You're wrong.
I mean, you got Helena Bonham Carter playing Lee.
Julia Hoffman. What the hell?
I know. Honestly, Scott, I think now, what's her name that played her in the Dark Shadows? What was her? Grady, I think. I forgot what her last
name. Yeah.
She was a Broadway actress. But you know what? You look at her and you go, oh my God, a drag queen could do this part. And I think that would have been better.
Exactly. I mean, the whole thing about her character was this was like this middle-aged woman lusting after a vampire. So, you know, and Angelique, oh my God, they turned her into a slut.
Well, she was kind of slutty anyway.
She would have in the original, she would have never said, I'm going to conk you with these and then open up her blouse.
Well, Scott, most of the stuff they're saying in this current one, they wouldn't say in original. Angelique was a bitch.
Oh no, she was a bitch, but it's so broad with this one. That's the thing.
Oh, she was kind of broad in the other one.
You know what they're gonna do is they're gonna do like a whole bunch of stupid like.
And that kid looks creepy. The one playing David Collins, he looks creepy. He looks as creepy as Carl from Walking Dead.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, what worries me is they're going to have like a bunch of stupid, man up time.
Except that I believe that he's actually in the house.
That's right. He is in the house. The funny thing is they don't have what's her name. I don't see the ghost girl.
Which one?
Now they have Victoria Winters, Bella Heathcote. She looks too weird. I mean, Victoria Winters was kind of like the norm. She was like Marilyn.
Yeah, she was the normal one.
From the Munsters.
Yeah, she like came into all this weirdness.
Yeah.
Is that not what Chloe Moretz is playing in this movie?
She's playing the whores.
She's playing the whores.
Yeah, she's playing the whore, pretty much. Carolyn Stoddard is,
Yes.
Oh, no,
she goes
asking
down
about
to the blue whale or whatever all the time.
I'm pretty sure the 15-year-old girl I just mentioned isn't playing the whore.
I wouldn't doubt it. Well, you know, is she 15? This picture, she looks old. Oh, my God, Dark Shadows, the Polanski film.
Oh, God!
I'm sorry.
That was pretty fantastic.
I like your soundboard, John.
It's just, like I said, it's like they're playing this whole thing for laughs, and that wasn't Dark Shadows. Yes, there was some campiness, but one, it was unintentional. And two, I mean, they did some seriously fucked up shit as much as they could in the 1960s.
Frankenstein stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that one was a bad episode. That really
did. They had, like, all this weird vampires, werewolves, and all that, and they didn't sparkle. But,
was it as fucked up as True Blood, Scott?
not in terms of sex, because like I said, different time periods.
Yeah, no boobies.
No boobies. But kind of out there. There was some definitely weird shit going on.
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, it's a very gothic thing. And it just from the trailer, and like I said, it like Lee said, it could be wrong, but it just seems so broad and just.
But that seems to be the spate of when they update old TV shows for movies. I mean, like, pretty much all of them got, like, camped up to the nines when they got made into movies recently. Like, if you think of all the Dukes of Hazzard, and these are shows were pretty camp in the first place.
Yeah,
Bye, Lee.
So does this mean Green
Nipples
has coming on board?
What in the hell was that, Aaron?
I thought I'd give you something nice to go away with.
Thank you.
Bye, Lee.
Good night, guys. I'm sorry. And hey, Lee? I just typed in my recommendation. Yeah.
How's that kid of yours?
The kid of mine is 4 inches taller than me now.
Well, that's not hard to do.
And he's shaping.
And he's shaving.
How's that music thing working out?
Oh, good. He goes to guitar lessons and he's enjoying it. Oh, and listening to music, he's okay.
Do you hear Drake yet?
Some more stuff.
Do you hear Drake yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. Did you buy him a Clash record yet?
Or a bad thing.
All right.
Lee, Margaret Atwood was here in town.
Buy him a Coldplay CD.
I'm going to show up at Dragon Con with no duels and a fishbone record for him. You better be ready.
He'll be ready. An old duels and a fishbone. There we go. You're just setting him up, and that'll go good.
Ladies.
I may actually bestow my old fishbone shirt on him.
Hey, that is truly an honor.
Along with some condoms?
Stop
no.
It. Scott. You already got bitch slapped.
You need to remember that. Don't you?
You already got bitch slapped by my mother-in-law this week.
Look, Scott, if you didn't react Lee's like that, it wouldn't be as fun.
Use all of us in a weird, different way as role models. We have a responsibility to keep this kid on the right path. Except you, who are determined to turn him into, like, hell kid.
Awesome. I
know. Hey, no, look, it's sexual health is very important.
He's 13. He doesn't need condoms yet. Give him another 4 weeks.
Thank you.
I mean, fairness, Dragon Con's up to September, so by then he'll be fine.
Oh, my God. All right. And on that note,
bye, Lee.
I go to the hot tub, too.
Nipples.
Does Lee know we're going to auction off her son for a date at the Fun Fest yet while she's sleeping?
Shush. Now I've got to cut that out.
You know, I wouldn't give Lee so much shit, but it's so much fun. She keep, you know, it's like poking the bear. And not in that way, but you know,
whoa. Animal husbandry does not work like that, Scott.
Pokey the bear.
I don't think he's talking about animal husbandry. I think he might be actually talking about a bear.
I think Scott's
not
a furry.
As an animal.
I agree. The comedian's a bear. No, he's not. He's wearing a necktie.
Hang on. I need to get a dollar out of my pocket. Let me put it on the desk. Wackity smackity do.
Waka waka waka.
Pat, just send me your PayPal account and I'll put the dollar in there.
So Rock?
Yeah.
Yes, Rock.
Part of the reason I could never really get into Dark Shadows and I always felt bad about it is that unlike the rest of the world, which would somehow was really smart for a while when PBS ran them, the rest of the world, they'd run Dark Shadows before Doctor Who. So you had to watch it as sort of as a lead in to Doctor Who, right? Here, they ran it after.
Oh.
So it was just by that point, you know, it's gone.
You were done. You're done.
Yeah. So I have like very, very few memories of it. So I will, when I see the trailer, I will just imagine that it's terrible because Rox told me so.
Now,
but I'm not that interested in seeing it anyway. So,
right.
I'm curious, which did you see the trailer?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And you have not seen Dark Shadows, correct?
No.
Okay, what did you think of it?
What I thought was that I thought that Johnny Depp was doing an excellent job of being that character, but I didn't think that it probably matched with what the old Barnabas was supposed to be. And I didn't. It struck me as trying to be funny as opposed to actually being funny. So I just was real. I was very cringeworthy. The whole trailer I thought was very cringeworthy.
I go by the general rule of thumb that if it's a Tim Burton movie, if it's a remake of anything, don't see it.
He doesn't.
Well, you mention that.
Aaron,
I take that view, but I raise it a little bit in that most of the Tim Burton movies of late, they look really great, and you see them, and there's sort of a letdown involved with them, except for Ed Wood. I mean, Ed Wood with me didn't really have that. Nightmare Before Christmas didn't really have it. But he makes all these movies that, like, they go really great, and something's just sort of falls flat in them, or there's just something that it misses.
Well, the Rob, the only one like I'll add to that is Big Fish. Big Fish is my favorite Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, it's mine too. I actually love that movie
because it is the least Tim Burton of all of his films, I guess.
Yeah,
I like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah,
that's true.
But again, Rubens had a big hand in getting that thing made.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah.
So that's part of it.
But yeah. So I wasn't sure what I was expecting out of the trailer because I had not seen the show, but I certainly wasn't expecting retro 70s disco Dark Shadows.
You know, the thing that bothers me is that really horrible makeup.
Yeah.
That fake-o, I'm on stage, here's my cheekbones. That's just great.
You know what it is, Rox, is that one, like Lynch said, he didn't get to make Adam's Family too. But it's also the fact that he's never gotten to make a Hammer horror film. So for him, this is kind of a little, everything he's wanted to do slammed into one movie.
Why couldn't he just come up with a new story and do his own? He kind of did, and I did like it. I know a lot of people hated it, but I did like Headless Horseman. I did like it.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow?
Sleepy Hollow. I did like that.
It was gorgeous, but it was just a little bit too convoluted and weird.
But I liked it. That to me, but he should stick to something new.
I'm sorry. See, I don't want to give him a free pass because if you're Tim Burton, you have a pretty decent imagination. You have a pretty good budget. You have really good friends. And if you have Christopher Lee and Johnny Depp in your Rolodex, there's a buddy movie right there.
Oh my God. Yes.
No, Rob, I've got it. Basically, and Rox, I think you'll endorse this, is you don't even need a buddy movie. Just literally get the budget necessary to film the two of them driving across country. Just as themselves. I would watch the fuck out of that.
They could do their own form of like Borat.
Or why can't he do a movie? Why can't he do a movie where there's like this young up and coming actor who's trying to break into the horror industry, and he goes to see the retired old horror film veteran, and who's bitter and all that, and they have, and you can play off of that, and then there's all those other things you can draw into it, you know?
Because I would point out, I don't think Johnny Depp can play young anymore.
Yeah, no.
Well, young enough, no, but that's okay.
You know what? Okay, this is my take. This is what he should do. This is what he should do. Totally Chip. Crazy. No, because they're doing that. Three's Company. That Christopher Lee could Mr. Furley.
Yes.
Johnny Depp could be John Ritter upstairs. And
Helena Bonham Carter would be Joyce DeWitt.
Helena Bonham Carter could be one. And here's this. Here's something. Raquel Welch was in a Hammer film.
Oh, bonus.
She could be in it. Oh, my God. She could be like, if they did the Ropers.
There was the season where they had the weird woman upstairs that kept hitting on Jack, the weird older cougar woman. That's who Raquel Welch would be.
Okay, there we go.
Right?
Do Three's Company.
And then, but the Suzanne Summers character, you could get, you know, almost anyone.
Mm-hmm. Any other blonde bimbo that's out there, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I think they should do that, and wouldn't that be great?
And then they could get...
Aaron's available.
Just saying.
Yep. There you go, Tim Burton. I gave you a free pass on this one.
Oh, in other news of bad remakes, you remember how they were saying they were making a remake of The Monsters?
Yes.
Guess who they're casting as Grandpa?
Oh, Al Lewis.
Nope.
They can dig him
up. Al Green.
Nope.
CeeLo Green.
Nope.
Al Bundy.
Nope. Eddie Izzard.
As Grandpa?
I can see it. To be honest, I can see it.
I can almost see that, though.
My reaction.
Well, here's the thing about Al Lewis. I can see that because here's the thing about Al Lewis. Al Lewis was your early, well, actually your transitional. He knew burlesque. And I think
I love that shitty Aguilera movie.
Right, yes. But I can see Eddie Izzard playing Grandpa.
God.
Because here's the thing is at that time, Grandpa was really Al Lewis was not really that old when he was playing Grandpa. So
hang on. Real quick, this just to add something into this, because at first I was like, no. But apparently he is producing it as well. He's in talks to produce it. So he must be interested in this. How weird is that? And it's not going to be called it's going to be called Mockingbird Lane.
Right.
That's been
out there. That little nugget's been out there.
But also, now here's the other thing that I find interesting is, now let me see what his deal was. Hang on, Brian. Because this might actually go from what to really. Is that Brian Fuller, who did Pushing Daisies,
which was excellent,
is apparently
and way too short,
is doing this.
Wow! And Brian Singer is attached to direct the pilot.
I can see this for some weird reason. Now, please do not do the fake cheekbones on Herman. Just don't. Just don't. You know, the thing is you got that show Grimm where you have fairy tales creatures.
Now, who's the guy from...
Oh, go ahead.
Who's the guy from Boardwalk Empire who's perfect for Herman Munster?
What?
What's his
name? Ben Alden?
Yeah.
Yes.
He could play him.
Oh, now, here's what's funny is, I will say this, I just listened to a commentary that he was on from the Blu-ray. And he's pretty fucking funny. He'll be quiet for a while, and then all of a sudden you'll see Michael Pitt's character on screen, and he'll say, "I just want to put him in jail, Terry. Why won't you let me put him in jail? I just want him to go to jail."
He's like creepy funny.
He is. But creepy that's what everyone said in all the behind the scenes stuff is that Michael Shannon's a really scary guy, but once you get to know him, he seems fine. And I'm just like, really. I do still want to
they
see.
They always say that before they find out he's a serial killer.
I know. We lost Rob.
He's such
a
quiet boy.
I was going to mention Take Shelter again, which I still want to see that he's in. But he's also in a film that James Franco is doing about Bret Hart.
Oh.
Which looked interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it called From the Rafters?
No, that would be about Owen Hart.
Oh, that's true. Under the Rafters, then.
So yeah, I could see the Munsters. The funny thing is at the time when they were in syndication, I liked the Addams Family more so when I was younger. But now rewatching some of the Munster stuff, I like that because I've been watching Between, and I think I like the Munsters now better.
The thing is,
while it was a very similar idea, if you look at it, you know, very basely, but they had a very different sense of humor.
Right.
And they really did have a very different ethos to the show, if you know what I mean.
Not really. Honestly, if you watch the first two episodes, three episodes of The Addams Family, they're very anti, you know, authoritarian. You know, they're like, you know, we'll pull our kids out of school, you know, because, oh, my God, you're reading fairy tales, you know, about, you know, a woodsman that goes and kills a wolf. How can you do that?
And then when Pugsley joins the...
oh, my gosh, the Boy Scouts. Yeah.
Yeah, they were so ahead of the time because, you know, now people don't want them to join the Boy Scouts because they don't like gays. So,
and they... Yeah.
John.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, John.
Circle back to
All right, so hang on. Quick correction. I'm sorry. I was completely wrong. In fact, Rob, you've probably already seen this. I was mentioning while you were away that Michael Shannon is also in the James Franco film. The film is called The Broken Tower, and it's not Bret Hart. I don't know where I got that from. It's Hart Crane. So
okay. Slightly different.
A little different. Sorry. Art was in there. Fuck you.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then we can come back and talk about bullshit.
Actually, all right. Call you back on the land.
Call you back on the land.
On a regular phone, yeah.
He's on the
Rob's on the lamb.
He's on the lamb. Run! Rob, run.
All right, so we'll go ahead and do introductions then, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck. There may be a video internet train wreck out there, but we have no association with them, and we're offended that you brought that up. Oh my God, we're ringing. Oh, it's Rob again.
Yeah, I keep breaking shit.
That's all right. That's what you do best. So we're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'm going to endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. And it's very obvious that we'll start with Rob because he's breaking shit. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Hello. We also have Aaron Poole is with us. Hi, Aaron.
Rob is not Fred Durst.
God, I hope not.
I know. Now, Aaron, I will say this. I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
I can imagine him with the hat on.
Ooh, somebody's getting punched. Now, moving quickly away from that scene of violence, we also have Serv is with us. Hi, Serv.
Hey, Widge.
Hey.
I forgot Serv was here.
I never forget Serv is here, because I was just waiting to ask Serv. Serv, is Fred Durst 80s? Because that's very old.
No, he's definitely 90s.
Okay, good. 90s. Right, just checking.
He late just 90s, seems I so think.
He seems...
yeah, I would say 96 on.
Okay.
I know the guy that our paper rep used to drive Limp Bizkit around before they made it.
Of course they did.
Because they're from Jacksonville, Florida, Matthews Bridge and all that good shit.
Yep.
Bridge.
We called our paper rep Roger Rabbit.
Dear listeners, this is why you can't just have an innocent joke on Weekend Justice.
You know the really, really sad thing is, Rockridge.
Rockridge.
Yeah.
Rockridge.
We will never be able to see Rock on the Julia Child show. Because just imagine how awesome it would have been.
No, but I will say this. Seeing Rocks, and by the way, hi Rocks.
Hello.
Seeing Rocks, what we need to do is we need to have Rocks on the Martha Stewart show. It would rival the Snoop Dogg appearance. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Think about it. You know you want it.
Ladies.
Oh, God.
Morning. Also, Scott C is with us. Hi, Scott.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Clap your hands.
Sorry for Scotty rocking.
What?
it's one of their newer songs, Scott. Just go with it.
Forget it. It's okay.
Show us your boobs.
Aaron, well played.
Wait, what? T-shirt now. And of course,
show us your booty.
Okay.
Oh no.
Where's that webcam?
I don't want that looming over me when I leave the house either. Along with
hairier than I imagine.
What do you mean looming? It's not that big.
And your weekend. So, John is, hang on, John, I got to introduce John. John is my own, manning this soundboard.
It's always nice to feel pretty.
He's the adult. Remember that? Maybe.
He's like the nanny in Muppet Babies. Is that what it is?
I feel like I'm floating high on Peachtree Fire.
Sounds like you're improvising a poem there.
Butternut squash. Butternut touch my squash.
Your weekend or your business. Okay, so...
Butternut touch my squash!
Hey, Rox?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if Scott, for his next one-man show, did the life of Gail Gordon as a one-man play?
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. I like Gail Gordon.
I do, too. Sorry.
That's Hathaway.
I like Commissioner Gordon. Does that count?
That would be good, actually.
Who played that in the remake?
Sorry. I don't know where this is coming from.
Who played Mr. Drysdale in...
Raymond Bailey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Different Strokes? Wait a minute. No.
No, that was Conrad Bain.
Oh. How would Tim Burton cast Different Strokes?
No.
Well, he would cast Jeffrey Jones as Mr. Drummond.
Wow.
That's good.
Which would be great.
Johnny Depp
then would have to cast Kathy Bates as Charlotte Ray's character.
You're right.
Later, for the Need Revolds maid, it would be Betty White.
Yeah.
And then Dana Plato would probably be somebody else, very frightening.
Johnny Depp.
No, Dana Plato would be the who's the kid that was in Alice in Wonderland, and
Mia Wasowski
and Hannah. Yeah.
No. No, wait a minute.
You're missing all the rules, Rob.
No, hang on, Rob. Those are two different actresses.
Oh, okay.
Now I will say, how old was Dana Plato? So she was 18.
When she was in Playboy?
Penthouse.
I forget which one she was in.
Hang on. So you're thinking of, I can't say her name. The actress from Hannah. I'm going to screw it up. What?
Yeah.
What? Help me, Aaron. How do you say her name?
Her sister.
Sorry. I wasn't listening. What?
The actress who is in the movie Hannah.
And her sisters.
No.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan. That's right. It's pronounced nothing like what it says.
Okay.
Mia Farrow could be one of the strange neighbors.
Yes.
Okay. That would work because she is about to turn 18. Perfect.
Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
She's older than that now. Is she 19?
According to Wikipedia, which is always right, she was born April 12th, 1994, which means that she's got a birthday coming up.
Happy birthday.
Making her 18. So
don't go shoplifting. Don't be Dana.
And don't go changing.
Or Winona.
It's me.
And don't go changing. Oh, wait, I think you already said that.
Don't go breaking my heart.
Don't shoplift. Then you'll be on one of those that 80s show.
But it will get you a cameo on Star Trek.
How would Tim Burton cast the kids in Different Strokes?
Here's what I would suggest. I would think
Johnny
Tim
Depp
Burton
is Arnold.
Oh my God, Billy Barty.
Hang on. I think what happens is I think he casts them and does mocap. They're CG.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I think Todd Bridges' character, if it was Idris Elba somehow digitally fixed, it would be awesome.
You guys, yeah. Kanan and Kel. Boom.
But where's Johnny Depp?
So that's the John. So what?
Oh, he plays the weird teacher that I think isn't. Wasn't there an episode
tries
where
to molest
they
him?
Kind of get molested?
Yes. Yeah, Gordon Jump was in that.
Oh my God!
There you go. Oh,
God,
sorry.
Oh God, the very special episode.
This is really happening.
Oh yeah, it's happening. So I have to ask, and then I want to ask Rob about a movie scene recently, but I'm dying to know this. So Rox probably knows about this. Did anyone else hear about, shall we call it, the Mike Daisy incident?
Yes. I've been hearing everybody talking about Mike Daisy. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Okay. Well, now, Rox, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, he's the guy with the one man play thing, right?
So let me do the quick 50 words or less version, and somebody correct me if I get anything wrong. But basically, Aaron and dear listeners, here is what the deal is. He is a monologue guy. He does one man shows, and he did one called, I believe it's The Agony and Ecstasy of Steve Jobs. And in it, he talks about a trip that he took to China. And part of it is that he visits the factories in which Apple products are made. And
Foxconn.
Yeah. And so he talks about seeing armed guards outside the factory and having to, you know, talking to a bunch of underage workers and meeting a guy who had his hand destroyed in machinery, making an iPad and had never seen an iPad and all these various and sundry things. So the gist is they did a episode of American Life, Ira Glass.
It's
American Life. Centered around that, presenting what he had performed as fact. And he had apparently, because I've read the transcript of the retraction show, not given them the information that they needed to properly fact check it, i.e. he had said that, oh, I don't know what happened to the translator I had with me. I can't find her. Which seems to me, he sort of hems and haws around, oh, I wasn't doing that on purpose to try to keep you from finding out that I'd made shit up. But that says to me that he knew that he had made shit up and was trying to get out of people finding out that he'd made shit up. But basically, so all the stuff unraveled. A person with Marketplace, another public radio show, who is their China correspondent, heard the bit and went, this doesn't add up, because he's on the ground there. So what's hilarious is he found the translator by basically, in his portion of the retraction show, he says, I wish I could tell you that there was a great deal of detective work involved, but all I did was put in her name, which was Kathy, translator, and Shenzhen, which is where they were, and hers was the first entry that came up in Google. So he pinged her and basically was like, you know, talk to me about what happened. And stuff that he said happened didn't actually happen. So Ira Glass came out and basically said, we're retracting the show that we did because we foolishly thought it was real and it was not.
And he fired some people.
Well, and to his credit, he then turned around and not, because, you know, everyone knows that there's some problems with factories over there, and Apple knows that there's problems over there, and Apple
we have problems with factories over here.
No, I know. But and I'm not saying anything about that. Apple is basically has been putting out an annual report of the things that they found, and Ira Glass basically had an interview with. They let the Marketplace guy give his spiel. They did an interview with a Mike Daisy guy who seems like a weasel, frankly.
Yeah.
And then did an interview with the guy from the New York Times who published a story investigating Apple factory conditions. So it was literally one of the most even-handed things I've seen in journalism in
a while. Yeah.
So I'm just curious, because basically the deal is he says, well, I sort of kind of made it up. This is the gist. I sort of kind of made it up, but I was going for the spirit of what I had seen rather than what I had actually seen. And it's a show, and it's true in the way that theater is true.
Now here's the thing. He did this instead of on This American Life and did it on OWN, which is owned by Oprah, she would have bitch slapped him from here until next week.
It brought up
you got that right, sister.
Well, Rox, I think that Ira Glass in the retraction episode mentions what's his face, the guy who did Thousand Tiny Pieces or whatever the book was. Yeah, and brought that up. And
well, look over here. Look at this guy. He was bad too. Yeah. Oprah got taken care of. Right.
I was just curious as to what your reaction is on that, because I thought what was hilarious to me. Let me just throw this out, and then the online reaction was, "Oh well, Apple's evil anyway, and so this actually doesn't matter, and it's obvious that Ira Glass has been paid off by the evil empire," which was hilarious. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go, Rox.
Okay, my take on when I first heard about this one man play, and I've seen enough, and I'm sure you have too, Widge, you know, even people that base it on their own lives, you know, they want to sell tickets. So there's going to be some fabrication. You know, if this guy presented this one man show to say, here is the evils of Apple, you would publish it, not going from town to town, taking your little spiel on it. So I took it with a big grain of salt because I read the New York Times and I read the article that the one writer had about Apple. And what was coming to light was, you know, when Apple came out and said, hey, we're not here to supply American jobs. We know we can make it cheaper here. This is what we're doing. We are overseeing. There are problems. We're trying to fix it. I remember reading this. But here's this guy. I never knew who this guy was.
Oh, God. He's having all sorts of autoplay sucks. All right, moving on. Sorry.
So my take is this guy's just trying to cash in on doing sort of like a Spalding Gray type show. But let's use, you know, instead of, you know, you can switch it. You can say Monsanto for all you care. You know, they'll have the same type of show. Just put in a different giant conglomerate, which you can do. So I wasn't really surprised. I really wasn't surprised when you have this guy getting a lot of publicity on this one man show. And I was waiting for the shoe to drop. Same thing with that Coney guy. It's waiting for the shoe to drop because everyone's jumping onto, oh my God, this guy's doing, you know, he's exposing this, you know, horrible atrocities in a play. You know, I took the whole thing with a grain of salt when I heard about, you know, his show. So I'm not surprised.
But frankly.
And, here's another thing. Is I have a client who actually he's been making those, you know, those toe shoes. And he actually has actually hired a company, one of those factories in China. He actually went from one factory. He's like, yeah, they treated him okay, but we actually found a factory place that treated him even better. You know, miners are treated like crap here. You know, it's.
Well, miners as in people under 18 or miners as in people who live in mines?
No, the people dwarfs that actually dig for coal and stuff, you know. Anyway. Well,
what's interesting is they actually did when they're talking to the New York Times guy, they did a comparison and they said that basically you could make Apple products for maybe $10 more in cost
here
than in China. So you're not saving that much. But what you do gain in China is that basically if you need to find, like, I don't know, I forget how many they said, certain amount of engineers, like 60 engineers or something in order to be able to start up a factory. You can have that up and running in like 60 days.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's here, phenomenal.
Where
yes.
You simply can't. So
right. That and the idea of one of the main examples that they will show is when Steve was coming out with the iPhone, the first iPhone. And he's like, it's plastic. I don't want this. I want glass. They were able to, it's a horrible thing, yes, of waking a bunch of people up in the middle of the night and say, okay, we need to change this over. We've got Gorilla Glass or whatever they're using to put into the faces of iPhones. But you can't do that here. You know, you have OSHA and stuff like that, you know. But you're right, to have a factory up and running, because this one guy, this entrepreneur that's one of our clients, was able to come up with a shoe company within, I'd say, a year and a half, and he's got product. So, you know.
I think for me, the big thing that comes out of this is it's always the cover up. You know, if he'd come out right out and said, I made this up, you know, instead of hemming and hawing and trying to weasel out of it and stuff, he would have taken some flack for it, but I don't think he would have taken as near
no,
as
that's,
he's getting.
No, that's him being stupid. I mean, if you know you're fabricating crap, you got to be, you know, apparently he wasn't smart enough to think somebody's going to fact check. I mean,
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying.
A real villain figure that out. Somebody's going to fact check you. Just so you know.
Oh, I know. It's just, but that's But the thing is, once he was getting found out, he didn't. I think he would have taken less heat if he, you know, said, "Yes, I know, I made all this up. I'm sorry." But he hemmed and hawed and tried all this. You know, it's true in the sense of theater and all this bullshit. It's like, yeah, try. Yeah, it's like
artistic license.
Yeah, exactly. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So
keeping Scott up again.
Bored again, Scott. Wow. Even while you were talking, while you were yourself were talking, you bore yourself, Scott.
You know, that's not the first time. Just saying. Here's something of interest, just saying about the iPad. The iPad components cost more for the iPad 2 and 3. So actually, Apple is actually taking a hit on making these things now, a little bit. They're not getting as much of a markup, because I think it costs like almost $300 to make an iPad. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Okay. Anyone else on this before we move to a movie review?
Well,
I was just curious.
All right. Well, never mind. I'll...
No. Go, John. Never
mind. Well, my point to that is that, yes, the guy was making up stuff. However, it's not like Apple doesn't have some responsibility here. They are the number one company in the world, the most valued company in the entire world. And when people are complaining about, you know, Microsoft or Texaco or any of those guys, no one was saying boo. Everyone was going, yeah, you're right, they do have some responsibility here. Now that it's Apple, all of a sudden the fanboys and whatnot are out, well, see, obviously this guy was lying the entire time. But no, that's not true. They are taking advantage of labor across in different countries and abusing and you know, kind of turning a blind eye to the working conditions. Yes, granted, in the sense that there is what do I want to say here? Relatively, they are having a better experience. They're getting a decent job.
In a
world that you know doesn't have much, or in a country that doesn't have much there, you know, as far as for the people. And I don't know what the movie review is, but if it's Hunger Games, I'd like to draw the parallel, which is that, you know, you have these different desperate, you know, communities that yeah, one person has a little bit more food than the next person next door to them. They're seen as, you know, great, but in the overall scheme, you know, the overall company has a responsibility to make sure that everyone is I mean, I'm not a socialist or anything like that, but there is a certain level of responsibility just as being a human and being decent.
You believe in the social compact.
Right, that everyone needs, you know, you need to be decent to people. And, you know, when they do hear about these things, they need to investigate. Instead, what Apple has kind of done is stuck their head in the sand. They say, oh, well, we're using this other organization, which the other organization is completely voluntary and operates on funds that these companies that they're supposed to report to give them. So,
let me just throw this out, is that I didn't get the impression from the This American Life thing that Apple was hiding anything. I mean, they had basically, there was no expose basically having to say, well, there is this poisoning thing that happened. And in fact, like the overtime, when they put the overtime is the number one thing that's being abused. And the reason for that is because the workers are complaining because they want to work more because they moved to the city to get lots of hours.
Right.
So if you put a cap on what they're willing to work, then it's like, well, what the fuck are we doing here? So, I mean, you know, number one, pretty much if there's blame to go around, everyone's to blame, because there's probably nothing in any of our houses that wasn't made in China. Right. Right. And it probably was made by somebody who probably could be in better working conditions. But I mean, let's face it. If there was a way to get the products that we want at the prices we want, then we would do that. But I would say, you know, whether it's they did the $10 additional cost to do it here, and the lead time and the everything else. And I would say take the, and I'm not excusing Apple, because my thing, and I'm not even an Apple apologist, because you have to understand what a huge thing it was for me to buy an iPod, because Apple for me, you know, growing up with an IBM was always the great Satan. So, I mean, it's true, but, bye, sir. But no, my point being is that I would say take any product that is made in China, and then turn around and try to say, okay, if we were going to do this the exact same way somewhere else, what is the cost and price that would be, put them side by side and say, okay, what do you want to do? And the answer is, you know, what, you know, do you want that mountain bike or not? I mean, or what are you willing to give up in order to, try to help out a situation like that?
You know, I haven't talked about, I may have talked about it on this podcast, but I'm not sure if I did or not, but I've spoken with a couple of different people that are in the manufacturing business and like at the upper level of managing the companies and the in the factories. In other words, these people position or buy factories in different countries. You know where it's turning out to be cheaper to have labor?
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
The United States.
Yeah.
Well, the question is that because
well, it's because
the bottom's falling out of everything.
That's true.
It's because you know, rising water floats all boats or whatever the hell that thing is.
Here's something.
Other countries want the same thing that we want, and then turns out that now you take, if everyone's getting paid the same wage, you take away the shipping costs, the import taxes, and everything else. Then it becomes, hey, well, we can make it cheaper in America.
Now, to get to John's point about, you know, taking care of the company. Okay, first off, Steve Jobs was a total dick. I've said that for years. The guy that's now heading it, Tim Cook, was pretty much, he tried to be the conscience of Apple. He was a guy in the background. He was actually the one, he made dozens of trips to Foxconn.
Hey, he,
and
I may be stepping on your point here, but he just opened up the charity matching, which dumbfounded me that they didn't already have
They never had it. No.
That absolutely, no. Because Steve Jobs makes himself out to be.
He always fucking did. And I'm like, no, the man is a fucking raving fucking dick. He comes off as I'm a Buddhist. The man is a total. I never liked the man.
He's
a poser. He's a poser Buddhist.
Oh no. He hired good people to make great products. And I've always said that. I have never given that man an inch. He was always a dick. You know what? I've never bought a Microsoft product, but I will say I have nothing bad to say about Bill Gates.
He's a dick, and I don't like him.
I mean, I'm sure he's done, you know, early on, but you know what? He tries to help people. Steve Jobs has never tried to, like, oh, let's cure, you know, sleeping
sickness. He never set up a charitable organization like Bill.
No, I've never said, you know,
and ironically, he was dying of cancer.
Yes.
Thank you.
My God. Yeah. And the thing is he, you know, if he went, he tried doing something holistically and they're like, you know, if we told you about this and if you went to this treatment, we could save you. And he realized that too late. But yeah, Tim Cook, I really would hope he does really more humanitarian stuff. And I think he will be a really good leader for Apple. I mean, okay, he's opened up giving dividends now to people that have been investing into Apple for years. People who have been investing since, I don't know, the 80s. He's finally giving them quarterly or I think yearly dividends, I'm sure. I think. So, yeah. So,
well, this makes me feel better.
But he's been trying to do good things for Foxconn. Anyway.
This makes me feel better because I basically, you know, my next phone, since it's going to be an iPhone,
my sister likes her Android, just so
since,
you know.
Since Samsung is basically completely fucked Android for me, I'm glad to know that I will be happy with it.
No! Widge!
Come back to me. All right. I'm sorry. I don't need a hobby. I need a phone.
I'm not hobbying on my phone.
John, what is the phone you have?
A Motorola Bionic.
Well, all right, Widge, you look into that. Please look into that.
Wait a second.
You have to understand.
Widge, fuck the hipsters. Get whatever phone you want.
Thank you, Aaron. But here's my point.
I have an LG.
Here's what I know.
Wait, you don't even... Oh, that's right. You don't even have a smartphone, do you, Rox?
It's now a smartphone by track phone. The number
goes to a community
drug
college.
Dealers. Right. That and mafia folks from Russia.
Here's my thing. Here is my latest... After we got off the podcast and I had complained about my 2.2 build phone, I, out of curiosity, just Googled it, right? Oh, let's see. Let's see if maybe... Because I tried to load people create all these ROMs all the time of various and sundry things, most of which just lose all the bloatware that they put onto these things. And I thought, I'll go see if I can find it.
That's not Google's fault. That's not Android's fault. That is whoever's your carrier's
fault. That's Samsung
fault.
And AT&T. I understand that. I'm not there. Everyone's culpable in this, okay? All I know is my time got fucking wasted. So here's the deal. In fact, I have good things to say about AT&T for once. Who knew? Now, here's the deal. So I found, hey, there's an actual 2.3 gingerbread release for my Samsung Captivate piece of shit phone. I went, great. I'll try it. Why the fuck not? So but basically, here's the difference. When I need to update my iPad, when I need to update my iPod, I plug them in and I say, update. And it does it. When I need to update my Android phone, I've got to plug it in, figure out how to fucking back it up because the USB drivers don't fucking work. And it should not. You should never have something that you have to go. I understand about, you know, mounting drives and stuff like that because I do that with the server and with Linux. But God damn it, this is a fucking phone. When I plug it in, this is the first phone that when I plug it into a computer, the computer doesn't go, oh, look, a device. Instead, it goes, and goes and has a fit.
It could be worse. Every time you plug your phone in, it could do this. Hold on. Here, I'm plugging it in.
Is this one you spilled beer on?
No.
Oh.
It didn't do it.
Why do you hurt me?
One of the greatest things about mobile phones is having all sorts of great and important things within reach whenever
you
need them.
Every time I plug this stupid thing in, it plays an ad.
What?
Oh,
what phone? What do you have?
Motorola. It's a Motorola Bionic. I can turn it off. I know I can. I just haven't decided to.
Does it come with Lee Majors?
They're trying to sell. It's Verizon trying.
Sean, you're absolutely right. I do want a phone that plays ads at me when I plug it in.
No. They're trying to sell me
marketing things.
Ironically, they're trying to sell me the backup.
Oh, geez.
They're trying to sell me backup assistant.
So I download the thing. I finally figure out how to make. I back up the fucking phone. I have to start the program, which lets me update it. I try to update it, and it fails. Now, first of all, who fucking writes any sort of upgrade or anything that has no progress bar? I literally let it sit overnight because there's no fucking progress bar. And I thought, you know what? I understand. I realize that I'm an impatient, highly caffeinated, fucked up individual. And
now,
maybe,
it's just you.
Maybe 2 hours.
You expect too much.
Yeah, I expect shit to work. I know that's too much, but. So maybe 2 hours isn't long enough to wait for this piece of shit phone. Maybe it's so fucked up, it needs hours to think about what it's done and recover. Maybe. I don't know.
You know what, Widge? You're not smart enough to have a
phone. No. You know what? I just have better shit to do with my time. So anyway.
I'm trying to reverse psychology. It's not working.
No. Cause
does anyone expect steam to be coming out of his ears right now?
Here's the thing, John. Here's what I know. I know when I'm in over my head, I will actually, unlike most people with a penis, I will follow the instructions because I, especially having bricked this phone twice. Yes, I have a penis, Scott. I know that's news to you because you've never seen it, but trust me, there's one down there. Okay. And I don't call it the weekend. Anyway. So
I call it on the weekend.
Check out my Saturn V and it answers on its own private line. So I follow the instructions. and it bricks. So thankfully, I take it to the AT&T store where I got it because I called the Samsung people. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. They kept saying, well, when you see the Samsung screen appear, I don't get the Samsung screen. I get the my phone is fucked up screen, cell phone, frowny face, computer, whatever the fuck it is.
Did you try the six finger salute?
I gave it all kinds of finger salutes, John. I did. Ooh. Not that kind. God.
Did you try the double battery removal and then hold down the power button for 30 seconds? Then up, down, left, right, A, B, A, B.
Yes. And I killed a chicken. So I went to an AT&T store where basically
I'm like turned on now.
You would be. I walked it. You notice, and Scott, I haven't even said the words
get
hard
the
reset.
So,
I walked into the AT&T repair store. I said, guys, here's the deal. Bricked my phone. I backed it up. Don't give a fuck. Okay. Just, is there a way to blow this away? And John, I also tried 5 different ways of blowing it away and starting over, none of which fucking worked. So I go to the AT&T store. Can you please just blow this away and start over? She said, did you wipe your phone before you updated it? And at first I thought, now that's kind of personal. But then I thought, oh, wait, no, the instructions didn't say to wipe the phone. And she said, yeah, they kind of left that part out. Who fucking leaves a step out of the fucking instructions when you know if you don't have that in the instructions, you're going to brick the fucking phone?
Hey, now, hold on. You worked at IBM.
Yeah. And you know what? Things update. You don't call it an update. You call it a reload. You call it anything. You have something in the instructions that says, hey, by the way, you might want to just reformat this and start over.
Yeah, because there are people that didn't work at IBM that don't know that.
Yeah, but see, I worked at IBM.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying that's a reason why you should have that because never mind.
Anyway, no, I take your point. But anyway, so she fixed it. It's working now. But that was, I lost an entire day because I had to drive to one AT&T store and then drive to the other AT&T store where they actually had the facilities to help me because of my fucking Android phone.
But it's working now, though, right?
What's that?
It's working now, though, right?
Oh, it's working now. But I will never buy another Android phone because I don't want to go through this shit again. I would much rather plug it in and hit the button update and then get a fucking progress bar. It's 2012. Who doesn't have a fucking progress bar?
Hold on. I actually don't think that the Apple update gives you a progress bar either. If I remember correctly.
It also takes like 5 minutes and doesn't crash.
Hold on.
The
no.
Bar, when the little Apple shows up, there's the bar at the bottom.
Wait. When I updated my wife's iPhone, I don't believe I saw one.
It is.
Yeah, but I'm used to not seeing one because, you know. Android
are you rules. Arguing the process?
Android
John,
rules,
John,
iPhone.
John, just because you're drunk when you're doing it.
iOS rules, huh?
What?
I said,
you're always
I said
drunk
Android
when you're
rules,
updating
iOS
your
rules.
Phone.
Yes. All I have to say is that that should have been a way homer.
Oh, God! A way homer for my phone reload.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus.
You drive and around.
And then you could have, like, sent it to Samsung.
All of the movies you can't record on your phone because it's broken.
Yeah.
The update wasn't as good as the trailer.
That's so true. Tim Burton Samsung update.
See, I remember we were looking at TVs the other day, and they have the Samsung that talks to itself, that you talk to, apparently, and it does whatever the hell you tell it.
Oh, they say that. They say that.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, oh, wait, it's a Samsung.
Oh, my God. It'd be like Demon Seed or something.
No, the worst turntable I ever had was a Samsung.
Nice. See, because my problems have been I got the Blu-ray player. That literally 6 months later, they came out with Amazon Instant Video and it wouldn't support it and they weren't going to upgrade it. I'm like, really? It's 6 months. It's only 6 months old. And then my DVD burner and my computer died. And I look it up and, oh, it's Samsung manufacturing it under a different name. Go fucking figure.
And of course, it's got a 5-month warranty.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you, Samsung. But anyway, so yes. I understand. I understand that I am in the minority.
I'm
willing to accept I'm in the minority because that's never bothered me before. So I understand that there's lots of people who are very, very happy with their Android phones. but I just am not fucking putting myself through this again.
I didn't get one because I had heard from 4 or 5 other people that had problems with their Androids. Not as extensive as yours. So.
Now, see, is it Android or is it Samsung?
Well, for me, it's a little bit of both.
Well, here, can I defend Android?
You can try.
I'm probably going to be the only one who can. The deal is, and Google is trying to get this under control, is that unlike Apple, Apple is the hardware manufacturer, and I'm sure you're aware of this, seeing as they were the evil empire. They're the hardware manufacturer and the software designer.
What is playing now?
Don't hear me.
Oh, sorry.
Are you choking to death? Do we need to put a spoon in your throat? Shut up, Scott.
So they control the entire experience. Now, if you remember, there was a period of time where Apple was actually licensing out their OS, and boy, did that not go so well.
That was dark years.
Did not go so well for them. So that's why they can control the experience. Now, that's why their products are so tightly coupled. With Android, because it is more open, I will not say it's open because it isn't. There are pieces that are not open source. Anyway, it's more open and anyone can basically use it. You wind up with these problems where configurations, you know, you can't. It's the same problem you run into with Windows, which is that on a certain machine, something might work, whereas with another application, it doesn't work on one machine versus another versus a machine that looks almost identical, but it has this one. It's missing 2 gigs of memory versus 4 gigs.
Well, what if somebody made like a Linux phone?
Well, that's essentially what Android is. I mean, it's built on Linux.
Yeah.
But the deal is that Google, starting with 4, has minimum. I believe it's with 4. Has minimum requirements and specs that you must adhere to. And if you look at all the Nexus phones, those are your spec phones. Those are the ones that run basic Android straight out the box, no bloatware, nothing. And those are the phones that if I was to tell anybody to go get a phone, I would say go get those ones, even though I myself have a Bionic. only because I couldn't wait any longer and I needed to get a new phone and I didn't want to wait for the Nexus. Which, by the way, is done Samsung, but it, again, is a straight Android phone. Samsung wasn't allowed to dork around with it. Believe it's AT&T that it's on.
I don't trust them. I think their factory is over a hell mouth. So no.
But now that Google's buying Motorola Mobility.
See, now that's the place that Daisy should have investigated. Now the Samsung factory.
Now that Google's buying Motorola Mobility, you'll probably see some more phones that will set the standard. In other words, they'll be more stable. But the problem with Android is that it is so Wild West right now, and Google really has no control over how it's implemented. So, anyway, that was my defense of Google Android. Not
yeah,
really
but
the
sometimes
defense,
Wild
but
West stuff works out well because then you get more innovation. See, now, going back to like the iPad 1, and then all of a sudden people are coming out with their own iPads and tablets.
And since I've been drinking tonight, I want to go at Apple again one more time. I'm annoyed with Tim Cook and his "we created the tablet market." No, you didn't.
No,
the tablet market had been around for a long time. You may have.
I don't know. Unless you go back to hold on. Unless you go back to the Newton.
Well,
No. Hold on, Rox. You could argue that the tablet started getting developed as early as the space program because they were working on the Apollo missions off of something that was basically a tablet. But
I think you'll find the person who started a tablet was Moses, but he broke it.
Oh my God! Yeah, he broke it.
Yeah. The circle gets the square.
That's a good button.
What I would say, yeah, there you go. John, what I would say is that I think it's really, there are very few cases in which you can say that somebody created a market. Mm-hmm. I think basically the market was there, but nobody knew how to fucking tap it. because
yeah,
because
I tap that market.
I'll hit that market. Oh my!
Well, see, the thing here's John in a nutshell. Here's the thing with Apple, because they didn't have to spend the money at home on labor, they could spend the money on marketing and research.
Oh, so true. I think there was a movie that Rob wanted to review.
Oh.
No. I think this is a great topic, actually, because it's one of the reasons why I'm not inclined to get a Mac, you know, which I have issues with.
Mac's a PC, and we're in a post-PC era, according to them, anyway. Which is why I don't understand why they didn't just kill all their laptop line. If we're post-PC, why are you still selling towers and laptops?
Well, the only thing I will say is that I, based on my experience with the amount of high-def video and audio and stuff that I am working with, I probably would buy a Mac as a second machine simply because those two things and publishing have always been the things that I understood that Macs did better than anyone else.
The audio stuff they have is pretty incredible.
Yeah. So I mean, just the amount of stuff that I've been working with and the fact that, you know, when I start rendering Away Homer, that's 2.5 hours of watching the rest of my 64-bit Windows 8-gig 8-processor machine crawl to a fucking halt. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right, kids. Your 64-bit operating system means very little if 98% of the programs that you run aren't 64-bit. I'm just saying.
It should also make people appreciate the way Homer's more.
What's that?
It also should make them appreciate the way Homer's more.
Yeah, it takes 2.5 hours to render Away Homer for YouTube and then another hour to render it for the podcast version.
What?
Who's saying that? Who's whatting?
Dude. Get a Mac. Get a MacBook Pro. It'll take 10 minutes.
Aaron, you have to understand. When I left my day job, let's leave it at that, I realized that I was going to buy, because I had worked for them for so long, I hadn't really owned my own PC because I didn't need to because I always had a work PC. So I thought, okay, well, I'll throw it open to whoever. I don't give a shit. Let's see what's out there. And my problem was that I could not justify in my own head, because at that time I wasn't working with all this video and audio. I couldn't justify spending the additional cash that it takes to get a Mac, especially since I had just left my day job. So, it is something that I would like to do. Partly because if for no other reason that I can do that stuff over there and then be working over here and, you know, not running
real
problem.
Work. Yeah.
And once you've cloned yourself, that'll be much easier.
Oh God, that would be fantastic. I need to talk Cosette into letting me. Oh, shut up, Scott. You wouldn't get it out there. None of your weekend or business is going to get anywhere near any of my clones, buddy.
Yeah, but think of the money we would make from the porn video.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Widge on Widge Jackson.
Scott, first of all, you can barely talk because you're so bored.
Why is he saying we? That's what I want to know. If you're doing all the heavy lifting, how is he making money?
Thank you for thinking it's heavy lifting. Or wait.
Wait a minute. No, I mean it that way.
Wait, I haven't lost yet. Scott, first of all,
yes.
Where'd you get the Rip Taylor laugh?
Scott, seriously, there is such a thing as coming up with a product and then realizing after you have the product that there's no market. I think that's where it sounds like this is going.
You mean like New Coke?
Kind of like New Coke, yes. That's right, Scott. Widge on Widge porn is the New Coke of the 21st century.
Yeah, I think Apple's next product is going to be an off switch for Scott. Or at least
the chair agrees.
A taste filter.
I'm dying to know what the movie is, though, Rob saw.
Okay, so Rob, let's run out of time. Switch over to your movie that you saw. Please bestow upon us your knowledge.
Yesterday afternoon was the press screening for Hunger Games.
Yes. How was it?
Oh shit!
Okay, let me predicate this first by saying I've not read the books.
Oh,
so I went, which I plan on doing. It's just, it's not like Harry Potter where I was so sick of the books I didn't want to read them.
Well,
in this case, I genuinely do want to read the books.
Rob,
right?
it only take you 2.5 hours to read them.
Two and a half hours to me, like Widge, is a lot of time. So,
well, you got an airplane trip coming up.
Yeah, but I got other stuff I have to do.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Which actually, I am bringing a copy of that. But no, I'm actually working on something else. But because I'm still on a writing deadline. But anyway, having said that, the thing is, I hadn't read the book, so I was a little apprehensive that I wouldn't get what was going on. So, just getting off the table. I have to say though, that it's two and a half hours. I think 2 hours 24 minutes.
Yeah,
Hunger Games. Yeah, but it goes by. It's very you get caught up into it, and it's, except for Donald Sutherland and Toby Jones is in it, but they hardly let him talk, which is kind of a bummer. And Stanley Tucci's in it, and I swear to God, and Scott, I love you to death, but when I saw Stanley Tucci, I thought for sure you did his wardrobe. I'm just saying. Stanley Tucci was channeling Scott C. when he took on that role. So
disco shirt!
Yes. But I really liked it. Which I know is probably scaring a lot of people, but and
I like
first,
Jennifer Lawrence.
I didn't understand the casting at first, but then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, all the other movies she's in, she sort of plays this, you know, girl in the woods kind of story. It's perfect, you know. And they do a very good job of, you know, it's political to a certain extent, it's spiritual to a certain extent. It's a survival film without being overt on all of them. And it's really well paced. There are times when it's slow. It takes, you know, for the actual games to start, it takes about an hour and 10 minutes before you're actually in the game. But the buildup is really, you need to do, I'm glad that they took the time to do that buildup before they just threw everyone into the Hunger Games and turned it into a slash and cut movie. You know, they really made an effort to build it up, explain what it was. Then there's the part where everyone's running around the woods, and they made that just as compelling and just as interesting. And it's really well acted, and from people I didn't think would be really well acted, like all the minor characters and stuff, in it are pretty good. And it's not overtly schmaltzy. There's, you know, there's some sad scenes in it, but they're not overdone or overstated. The cinematography in it is great. It's one of those rare times when they do a science fiction film with special effects where they don't overdo or oversaturate the special effects. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And the costuming is great. There's times when you see Elizabeth Banks so that you completely forget you're watching Elizabeth Banks.
Like fuck.
What was that?
Okay.
I said thank fuck. I hate Elizabeth Banks.
Now, yeah. if you've read the book, you would get the casting of Elizabeth Banks, because the character she plays is a tad annoying. So
yeah, well, she's annoying in the movie too.
Yeah, well, she should be.
And
she's annoying in everything she does.
Donald Sutherland, I forgot. You know, Donald Sutherland, for the longest time, always played these great parts. The last couple films he's made, he's always been kind of like not really Donald Sutherland. Well, now Donald Sutherland's back to being Donald Sutherland, right? He is just like, the way the movie ends, you are just like, wow, he's such a great bad guy. He's such a bastard, the way it ends.
Can I ask you, how much is he in the film?
He's in it, I would say, maybe a total screen time, about a half hour, 40 minutes.
That's interesting, because in the book, in the first book, and I understand that it's going to be four films, because that's a new thing. They split up the last book, even though they're all the same size. Split up the last book into two. I don't know why. Anyway, in the first book, he's not even in it. I mean, his character, President Snow, is not even in it.
Yeah.
They talk about him, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Rob, I was just going to say, if you want to see other good Donald Sutherland, and if you haven't already seen it, the Treasure Island with Eddie Izzard, he's got a great cameo in that.
Yeah, he's great in that. And that's what he's been doing lately. You know, he does all these great cameo stuff, except for like when he was in The Italian Job. You know, he was in that pretty substantially. but that's kind of probably the last time I saw him in a movie who was in it for longer than 25 minutes, you know. But he's really good at it, and Jennifer Lawrence is really good, and she does a really good job of sort of acting without having to actually speak. It's one of those movies where you do most of your best acting through actions, not necessarily through dialogue, and it does that really well. And you know, I know that the thing that I'm worried about the movie though is a couple of things. One, I'm completely happy with going to a movie theater and getting lost for 2.5 hours in a movie. It's awesome. It's a great experience. I love having that. But I don't know if the people that have read the book that just, you know, Joe and Mary Multiplex are going to go there and sit for 2.5 hours or just be like, come on, come on, come on. You know, I think the runtime may come back to bite it in the ass. And it doesn't bother me, but in terms of just the average film goer, it might bother them. And two, they do a really nice job of not having to explain every single thing that happens. There's times when things happen and you're like, okay, I can see where this happened. You come to the conclusion on your own based by what you've seen. You know, the violence that you see in the Hunger Games is more off screen than on, but you totally understand, at least the, you know, this barbaric thing of having, you know, 24 people out trying to kill each other. In some movies would be much bloodier and rougher and rawer than it is in this movie. And they leave a lot of the sort of, you know, behind, you know, yeah, this person has died, but it's sort of behind the scenes sort of stuff. I mean, it's there, but they effectively have it involved in your emotional experience of watching the movie without showing you like having the head cracked open. And that works really well as well. So, I mean, I'm really pleased with it. I thought it was really good. So.
It's also, by the way, that the off-screen violence is a lot of what happens in the book is off-screen.
Really?
It's funny because I only just read the book about 2 weeks ago because I knew that my wife and daughter wanted to go see the movie and I wanted to go with them. So I read it and it was, again, a very quick read. But it does read like a movie script. Literally as I was reading, I was like, okay. And beyond just the normal, you know, reading and seeing things in your mind. I mean, it was literally almost like it's almost like someone took the movie script, made it a book, and then they're turning it into a movie. So, I mean, again, I haven't seen the movie obviously, but the book does read very much like a movie script anyway. There is no fluff in the book, like, you know, Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or any of those things. There's lots of stuff that they can kind of, yeah, they go into a lot of description and everything. Not much in these books. I mean, it's
also
really
a very
pretty straightforward.
I don't know if the book's like, it's also very intelligent too. I mean, mm-hmm. The way that she goes,
message redacted.
Whoa, spoiler!
Are smarter. No, I'm just saying, they're not going to tell you what she does. Oops. Don't worry. But,
well,
this is like the long walk all over again.
No, I won't tell you that River Song is your granddaughter.
Well,
but no, I mean,
there are more movies.
It's more than like, okay, we're out in the woods, grab a gun.
Completely blew past the actual spoiler. God damn it.
I know. It's just like.
Rob, what's funny is you try so hard not to do spoilers, but the ones that leak out are so big that you just don't even recognize that they're streaming past you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
He's got some editing to do. You want me that number? That would be at about 2:14:30.
Okay.
Yeah. On my file.
Okay.
We do know.
Message redacted.
Oh, dear God. Okay, 2:15.
Okay, got it.
Or does she?
Oh, don't even try. Don't even try.
The other great thing is Lenny Kravitz does this thing called acting. Where did that come from?
Yeah. How was he?
I didn't know I was watching Lenny Kravitz until I saw the credits.
No dreads?
No dreads.
No dreads.
Well, that's probably why.
I was just like, oh my God, it's Lenny. I was like, that was Lenny
Kravitz. Scotty hasn't had dreads in about a decade.
It's interesting because his character is very, very important. I mean,
yeah,
he's got a big part for being Lenny Kravitz.
Exactly. That's just why when I thought it was Lenny Kravitz, I'm like, wow.
When I saw it too, I was like, what? You've got to be kidding me.
Seriously? No, he's really good at it, which I, hello, you know, so.
Who, from his daughter.
Who directed the film?
I don't remember.
Gary Ross.
Who has done what else? Oh, that's right. I remember looking this up. He has done very little else.
Wait, wait, hang on. Gary Ross, he directed.
He's more of a writer, isn't he?
Well, hang on. He wrote Big. He wrote Dave. He wrote and directed Pleasantville, which was excellent.
Oh, all movies I like. Okay.
He wrote and directed Seabiscuit.
But do you see the gaps of time that are going by with this guy?
Yeah, well, you don't know what else he could have been doing. What else has he been doing? He could have been doing theater. He could have been doing God knows what. Now,
counting his money.
Also, if he is primarily a writer, bear in mind that screenwriters make a living off stuff that never gets actually produced. So,
see Kevin Smith.
Well, there you go. Here you go. I just spotted this in Wikipedia, which is always right. He has also written the screenplay for the forthcoming remake of 1954's Creature from the Black Lagoon, on which his father was a screenwriter. There you go.
And The Circle of Life completes.
And he is directing.
Johnny likes it in the booty.
John, yes. I think you could very easily take your kids to it, though, and have a very nice afternoon at the movie.
And he is directing Catching Fire, so.
Well, I would hope so, because that's the next film.
Well, but that, again, with the Harry Potter series, you pretty much can.
Well, don't they usually sign them for? Well, I guess not. There's only four films.
They filmed them all the way they lead into the next one. I wonder if they filmed them back to back. I was going to ask somebody if they knew if they did that.
Well, that would be pretty impressive.
There is a period of time that passes between, and not much, but there is a period of time that passes. It's almost like a Harry Potter.
And they didn't.
There's about a year that passes. Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when the aliens show up. Oh, spoilers again.
They're Daleks. Sorry.
This is really just a B story for Doctor Who.
Yeah. Sorry, I ruined the thing.
Is Lenny Kravitz the new companion?
Yes, he is.
That would be awesome. No.
And the Doctor is now played by a female. Why hasn't there been a female Doctor?
Because it's a man.
Sexism.
It's a man's
world. Because that would be weird.
Because then Scott couldn't be attracted to the Doctor anymore.
Oh, because women are completely heartless. Oh, that's why.
Wow.
I just don't think they found a clever enough way to do it. I think
like
they
a
would.
Joke from the guy who doesn't watch Doctor Who.
That's how it works.
You know what? You know what I'm gonna do, John, for you? If I can find out who the companion is early enough tomorrow, I'll email you and you can tell Shag.
I'll just tell him I know who the next companion is. Sorry, yeah. I want to tell you, but I can't. I've been sworn to secrecy.
So, but yes, no, it was really great, and I'm going to read the books.
Yeah, it's running at like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Yeah, now I will say that I am going to see The Hunger Games this weekend, but the movie I really want to see this weekend is The Raid.
Oh yeah, that's playing here. I'm going to see that. Try to see that before I leave, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's only here till tomorrow.
It looks insane. So,
can I point out that 21 Jump Street is currently rating at 86%?
No, God,
what?
Jesus.
There is only one good line in that trailer. One.
Poor Ice Cube. What happened, Ice Cube?
Now, granted, that was a great line, but it wasn't good enough for 80 whatever, whatever.
86 and 92% people like it.
Oh,
and I guess in Widge's world, that just proves that people are idiots.
No. They probably all have Samsung phones.
No, look, again.
Samsung is the number one manufacturer of cellular phones.
Well, that's because, you
know. Because they have to make so many that break.
My phone's a Samsung.
Traitor.
Mine's an LG.
Well, we're keeping rocks awake now, too.
Yeah,
I bored her with my film tirade. I'm sorry.
All right, well, we should probably move to recommendations since we're coming up at that time.
Oh, Stephen J. Cannell wrote... Cannell. How do you ever pronounce his name?
Cannell, yeah.
Yeah, Cannell.
Wrote the...
Fuck, Cannell.
Didn't he die?
No, he wrote 21 Jump Street.
Oh, that was Botchko. Never mind.
He also wrote Chips 99.
He wrote L.A. Law. Oh my God, you know they'll probably do a remake of that.
Tim Burton will probably do an L.A. law film.
Yeah.
He practically wrote everything.
Do you know Robert Anton
Yeah, but he did also write Half Past Dead, so, you know,
Stephen Cannell did die. He died in 2010.
Did he really?
Yeah. I was double-checking that, because, I mean, that's the guy who, you know, brought you everything from The Rockford Files to Greatest American Hero to A-Team to...
Hunter.
Yeah, Stingray. Fucking everything.
Oh, I see why he's getting a 21 Jump Street credit, is because he actually did write 21 Jump Street.
I think he produced it, filmed it. Yeah, because he was one of the creators or co-creators of the original series.
Beretta, the commish.
He greenlighted for a sequel, which is just tragic.
Well, again, I don't begrudge anybody liking a film that I don't like or have no interest in, because there's someone out there for every film.
I know.
So I'm a little stunned.
Except Ishtar.
Oh my God. Okay, quickly, before recommendations, did you see the Disney news about John Carter?
Yeah. You know, I saw John Carter this weekend.
Okay, what did you think of John Carter? 50 words or less.
Jesus Christ, this is horrible.
Really?
Pow.
There were elements of it that I liked, but it's just the way it looked was great. Some of the set design and stuff was great. The lead actors weren't very good. And it sort of just fell apart, which is really sad. It could have been so much better.
You know what? That's the general consensus. Somebody on IO9 compared that with the Lorax being a runaway.
Ishtar on Mars.
Well, here's the thing that really pisses me off, is that I love the Pixar guys a lot. And I was excited that Andrew Stanton was getting to make this film. But I saw Andrew Stanton tweet when someone said, he was retweeting everybody liking his film, which is fine. I mean, it's your live action debut. Rock the house down, but whatever works. But he basically intimated that people who weren't enjoying the film, he was like, yay for non-bitter filmgoers, to somebody who enjoyed the film. And I'm like, all right, look, don't be a dick. I mean, just because I didn't like your movie doesn't make me a bitter filmgoer. In fact, I am exactly the opposite, in that I will go on pretty much any journey. And I've even enjoyed Michael Bay films. How can you be a bitter film goer and enjoy a Michael Bay film?
Don't be a Steve Jobs.
So I unfollowed him. I'm like, I don't want to know. This is not my problem. This is obviously your problem. So, but no, I was disappointed in that I had no idea what the fuck was going on. but I was like, in the opening thing, so there's this predatory city that's crawling across the surface of Mars and destroying everything in its wake. I'm like, this is like fucking Grant Morrison territory before he went insane. I'm in. Let's do this shit. And then I had no fucking clue what happened after that. It all went downhill. Anyway, so recommendations. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Go, Scott.
The only recommendation I have is a book. It's called Island of Vice. And essentially...
Oh, there's a TR book.
Yes. Poor TR. He became the police commissioner of New York City. And New York City back then, even for the legendary time of the 70s, was a place of sin and villainy. Thousands of bars, thousands of whorehouses, and poor TR tried to clean it up. And the thing is, what's really sad about it is, I mean, he did have kind of a point, you know. It was really, it was spreading venereal
disease. The man was a prude, though, Scott.
No, I agree. That's the problem, though. He was so rigid about trying to clean everything up. He believed everybody should be like, reading the Bible.
But see, he was out of touch with his constituents of New York State. Because when you consider the city was made up of, what, half Irish, Italian, and these are people that worked six days out of the week, so that really the only time they had off was like Saturday night to Sunday. So yeah, of course, your bars are going to be like the number one places frequented.
Well, the thing that I got out of it was that it showed a precursor to Prohibition, where there were, you know, when you read like some of the stuff that like the temperance people put out, they did have, at least on some respects, a point. You know, you did have problems with alcoholism. You did have problems with people spending all their money with none for their families. But they just went so far with it that no one could support them. And the thing, like I said, I mean, if he moderated his views, if he tried like regulation, or he just went after like the really bad part, you know what I mean? It's sad. I mean, he, with all that energy behind him, he could have really changed it, but he just could not, you know, he had to have total victory. Or,
well, the thing too, Scott, you also had, I don't know where like Tammany Hall came into this, your amount of, you know, corruption is unsurmountable then. I mean, it was blatant. Oh, no. I mean, Tammany Hall and Boss Tweed.
Oh, no, that was a huge part of it too. But I mean, like you said, he was fighting against human nature on this. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. instead of trying to redirect some of the more destructive parts of it, he said, oh, no, you all have to act like, you know, good WASP people. And everybody was like,
yeah,
fuck you.
I mean, I can see where you can say, okay, if you did this, build like a good police force. Yeah, bribe them or whatever. But, you know, if he took smaller steps, I think he would have done better. I think that's why he jumped and, you know, did the whole Rough Rider thing. And then I became president.
Because then he didn't have to worry about, like, Tammany Hall and everything.
Sure.
But it is – another thing that's fascinating is you can hear people, like, whack nostalgic about how Times Square was like in the 70s.
Scott, did you just say whack nostalgic?
Yes, he did.
Wax.
He said wax.
Like, you need to clear that out of your ear.
Or you could whack nostalgia and rewrite it.
Yeah, in the back in the day, I used my left hand.
A little whack nostalgia, just make sure he's over 18.
Scott, you need to find this book called is something pertaining to, like, There Were No Good Old Days. It's a photo book.
I did a review of that. That was one of my first reviews for the site.
Yeah, where it's a photo book of like crime scenes and stuff. Yeah, yes. People. Yeah. Yes. It's just we get news quicker now.
Oh, I know. But like I said. What?
I just yayed about quick news.
No, I'm just saying. It's like I said, I mean.
Did you say news? I heard booze, but that's how I roll.
Deadly.
Yeah, we know you, Alky. Anyway. No, it is a fascinating look at this period in history and how, you know, it does offer a more nuanced version.
It's the opposite of the Gilded. It's the tarnish of the Gilded Age.
More like the bottom of the birdcage, if you really think
Well, a tarnish.
A tarnish from the fumes from the poo.
There you go.
And that's it for me. Done. Dong.
All right, cool. Who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Rocks!
I'm recommending the movie you saw a number of weeks ago, which is Resurrect Dead, The Mystery of the Twin.
Oh, you watched it!
I watched it, and I have a message for Sebi. If you're on your deathbed, please do not give a deathbed confession. Let us have our magic of what you've created. Just let us have that mystery. Just let it go. We will enjoy it. We want that mystery. Just go in peace if you have to. Don't tell your mom or anything like that. What Wid just said is these are interesting little tiles that have appeared. And now I remember where I took the photo of the tile. It was not on Madison, but like near Fifth or something. And one of mine was actually one of the more cleaned up pieces. Basically somebody is writing these little tiles that say Toynbee idea in movie 2001 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter. And in this film they actually break it down to what each line really says and stuff. So this guy's Odyssey is really an interesting thing because he was the narrator of this film. Is kind of a loner, didn't really finish school, but he latched on to this interesting phenomena that occurred along the East Coast and a place even in South America. And right now, more and more people are actually creating their own Toynbee tiles. So the guy has actually created a really cool kind of artistic movement, if you will. It's kind of interesting on how the guy got into when they researched the shortwave radio thing, which I've always liked is like when you had like in Manhattan, they have that public access channel on how sometimes you would get like these local shows and stuff and they're just totally bizarre. And anyway, this is a really interesting look of what, you know, can happen in the urban landscape. So yeah, Resurrect Dead, the mystery of the Toynbee tiles, which even though they kind of pinpoint that it's this one person, to me, there is still a cool mystery.
That's what they want you to think.
I think there is.
I will say the way they get there is 90% of it, because it just,
yeah,
you get about an hour into it and shit suddenly gets extremely real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
and Rox, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going to ding right there. So
that's all right.
Go ahead and.
There we go.
All right. Who's next?
Me.
Go ahead.
Released today is the new Shins album, Port of Morrow. The Shins. This is why I jumped in. So we've been waiting 5 years for a new album from the Shins. I didn't even realize it's been that long. But yes, 5 years. And because it's only released today, I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole album yet. But from what I have heard, it's mostly more of the same. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it seems strange that we are getting more of the same, considering the whole lineup has changed apart from the lead singer. And that seems odd to me. So I would have thought with a big lineup that there might be a different sound, but it seems to be mostly the Shins that you've come to expect. So I would say if you can grab it, do. They left Sub Pop and they're releasing it from their own record label, which seems to be the way of things these days. So, you know, it's always good to support that when people start out on their own label. But yes, the Shins, who are awesome, new album is out called Port of Morrow. Go get
it. It's weird because it's on Columbia over here.
Is it? Well, it's called Oral Apothecary?
Yeah.
Or Oral Apothecary. But is that with Columbia, is it?
Well, I don't know. The promo singles they sent out, you know, Port of Morrow available on Sony Records or Columbia Records on the date. So I think they put it on their own label, but I'm betting Columbia is doing the distribution.
Yeah, probably, actually. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. And then they can stick their name on it. And also, they probably want Sony to handle the tour and things like that. So I'm betting that's what it is. But.
Most likely. And it would make sense if that's the case as well. But yeah, I don't know what the chances of a tour are anytime soon on my side of the water. I think they're still touring in the States at the moment.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any plans to come over my end of the world yet. And I've never seen them live, so I would love to get a chance. But they've got a guitarist now. She used to play with Beck, and they've got like a Crystal Castles guy and like the drummer from Modest Mouse in the band. And it's all change, really. So it'd be interesting. That is me. Ding.
All right, Rob, go.
Okay, I've got a really strange thing called Quat Coffee and Quambus, raw 45s from Yemen.
Wow, okay.
Came in the mail the other day. No, there's a whole series of these things. They put out music of like the Khmer Rouge and different types of stuff. But basically, it's 45 singles that got released in Yemen in the 60s and 70s. Ooh. And basically it's, you know, sounds like funky lounge music and, just really, it doesn't sound that far off from what, you know, we were doing over here in terms of melody and rhythm and beat. It just has a little more of a sort of Eastern influence in it. And they're really actually pretty surprisingly pretty cool and pretty accessible. So. It's not like the Tibetan music you listen to where you're just like, okay, enough. You actually can, you know, listen to it and absorb it and take it in. And then also, since he took that one, I'll recommend the Kaiser Chiefs Start the Revolution Without Me. It's everything you expected from a, you know, a Britpop sort of band. So there we go. Ding.
All right, cool. John, what have you got?
I really have nothing, but there might be something fun coming from Knee Coffee soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Huh?
As opposed to all the non-fun stuff that we normally do.
As opposed to the boring, all mundane, barely keeping Scott and Rocks awake stuff. We do.
That's right, folks. Word of Week's coming back for a second season.
I'm awake.
Shut up.
But if you needed any of that, some stuff that you actually could probably go to, some store on, Amazon, but I don't know how to get to the store on Amazon, so.
Oh, well, let me help you with that, John.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. What you need to do is you just bookmark this, needcoffee.com/Amazon. And if you go to that link, it will take you directly to the front page of Amazon. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And you are then able to, purchase. Anything, because they sell everything. And whatever you purchase, we get kickbacks for, and that helps keep the lights on.
Wait, do they sell condoms?
You know what? I bet they do.
Should we tell Lee's kid?
No.
No. No, Scott. Especially not
on you now.
But, no. So,
pictures?
By the way, Widge.
What? Yes, yes,
the
John.
The Durex Pleasure Pack condom, it comes in a tin, and it's a 48 count, is for a low... $15.87. That's only 33 cents a condom.
Wow, John, that's amazing.
Your lady is worth at least 33 cents. Or man. Whichever. Not judging.
Oh, God. All right. So, yes. But also, for our friends across the pond, you can go to needcoffee.com/AmazonUK, and the same thing happens. Well, not the same thing. You go to the UK Amazon, and it's your friend. So, if just bookmark that and use that instead of your Amazon link. And by purchasing stuff that you were going to purchase anyway, you will help us stay roughly afloat. So my recommendation, I will recommend out on Blu-ray this week, the feature film version of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy out from Universal. Now, what I would say is Universal Focus. What I would say is that the film is excellent. The cast is excellent. My hope is that if they turn around and do a, who am I boring now? My God.
You're not, no. This is, this is amused. I'm trying. Yeah.
That's amused. That's bored, dude.
I clicked on the link. I am not bored.
I don't even want to know what link. So,
we'll discuss after your recommendation.
Jesus Christ. All right. So what I will say is that this is not the Uber Mongo edition that you might have wanted. There's no commentary on here. I mean, why you wouldn't, hopefully they have recorded a commentary with like John, I hope I'm saying this right, because you know I can't say names, but John Le Carre, the author, because he's still around. So, I mean, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that?
He's in the movie.
Yeah, that's right. He is in the movie, and he was on set a lot. So you get like interviews and some deleted scenes, and that's about it. My hope is that they're going to turn around and make another Smiley movie, and maybe at that point they come out with the better edition of this. So bear that in mind, but I do recommend, if nothing else, see the film. And bear in mind, I don't know, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I know that Acorn Media has a Blu-ray of the original Alec Guinness miniseries coming out next month.
Oh.
So that... that should be good. That is at least worth having. I don't know if the high def upgrade is worth it, but once I know, you'll know. So, anyway, there you go.
Well, wow. I was just going to point out that that Amazon truly does sell everything.
Yes, they do.
To the point where they sell a you know, a urinal that you can carry around on your leg if you're a male.
Oh my God.
That's going to the price of shade.
Yeah, so don't. We won't share the link, so it won't be spoiled for Dragon Con. But
yeah, sure, no, because you know that will spoil everything.
Yeah, well, it's already spoiled my evening seeing it. That's not right. That is not right. What? I don't even. I don't even understand when. Okay, I thought that one of the benefits of being a guy, one of the few benefits of being a guy and owning a penis, is that because you have a directional ability, you can pee pretty much anywhere.
As opposed to renting a penis, right?
As opposed to what?
Renting a penis.
Yeah, leasing to own a penis. But why would you need this? I don't understand.
Well, just because you can pee anywhere doesn't mean you should pee anywhere.
Okay.
Wait, what did I miss? Oh, I'm running back. I was brushing my teeth.
Oh, that's, well, then it's a perfect time to tell you that Scott was talking about peeing on things.
And, you know, portable urinals.
Scott likes to mark his territory like a wolf.
Is his territory his inner thigh?
Mostly.
That's what he has control over.
So
that's fantastic.
That's stuff.
So on that bombshell.
Wait. What do you mean? Are you closing up?
We did recommendations.
Yes. Yeah, but we're not at 3 hours.
Okay. Scott, some of us actually have lives. I know you don't.
Yes. And wives.
And wives. Yes. You wouldn't have one of those, but I mean, you know what I mean.
You could.
Spouts.
You can have a bitch.
Spouts. Oh, I'm not even going to go there.
Okay.
No, you can. I'm just not. I'll be here when you get back. So anyway, on that bombshell, a range of bombshells, a napalm going off all around us. I think we'll close out and
good night.
And I think this is the time, like every week, where we should close out the show by saying cheekbones.
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 Don't slap them too hard.
Don't
you might hurt your hand.
Them. Don't paint them. They look stupid.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota. Now, Rox, what if you had a what if you had like a skull that you were going to paint as an artistic project? Could you paint? And I'm sure you've done this. So can you paint the skull bones in? Oh my God! Oh, Rob, are you all right?
I think he left noisily.
What an attention whore!
Wow, that does say Rob has left the building.
Apparently.
If you use highlights, sure.
That's important. Thanks for that tip. That's another Help Me Rocks exclusive.
Hey, what's that number, Rocks?
888
8825.
There we go. What is it, John, really?
18.
Oh, God, you're such a prick.
It's always better when they're 18.
So what is the super secret project deal thing?
Secrets? What? Did you have dental work today, Scott? What the hell?
What Ryan Seacrest project that you've got?
He's got a dick in his mouth.
Yes. The miracle is that I am speaking so clearly while I have the dick in my mouth. I practice by using marbles.
Oh my god. That is quite possibly the codaist coda in the history of
fuck. But seriously, what is the secret project?